welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, many things to talk about this morning. 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. Love to hear from you. We're going to do a little What Can Adam Complain About? No problema. Also, Hollywood gossip queen, Perez Hilton. Boy, I got to say, Perez, I never heard of in my life up until, I don't know, April of this year. And now the man is everywhere. Also, Big Tad's checking in. He's going to be down at the American Idol auditions at the Rose Bowl, I hear. It must mean they expect a few people because the place holds 100,000 people.
Now, though, with Fat Tad showing up there, they're going to have to turn away 15,000, 20,000.
That's sad.
I mean, there's only so much room in that parking lot for you.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw him jump into an almost full Rose Bowl and saw people slopping over the top of it once.
Lose weight, get out of mom's house.
I saw that movie. It was about the Super Bowl 10, Black Sunday. Yeah. And the blimp flew in. Yeah.
Fat Tuesday.
One of his best roles ever.
Floyd Landis, everybody.
Wow.
Tour de France winner. Jerron, off the hizzy.
I know.
Jerron got on the blower. You know, we used to complain that Jerron doesn't sound black enough, but when he's trying to book the winner of the Tour de France, I think maybe that works for him just a little bit. You know, when some guy sounds like Tracy Morgan.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Looking for Floyd, talking to Floyd's publicist.
The question is, does this now render Mike August moot?
Not even know who that is anymore.
Alan Booker.
Actor Robert Cannavale. He's always in a million things you've seen, but coming up in Snakes on a Plane. So we'll look forward to that. And much, much more. Well, let's see. Personal stories and observations. I was pulled over.
Oh, no.
Yesterday. Yes. And there's two kinds of pulled over. There's, you know, barely rolling through a four-way stop sign. I was just traveling with the herd on the freeway. Everyone was going 73. I was just in amongst them. Why are you singling me out? And then there's that sort of exhibition of speed. Oh, my God, I can't believe there was a cop there when I was doing what I was doing. There's that. I definitely was doing something, and there's no confusion about who he's pulling over or what's going on. And you'll notice, Dave, that you have a lightsaber.
I did. It's fantastic. A Mace Windu edition.
Mace Windu! Now, I bought that for you when me and Kimmel were over at Price Club or Costco or whatever barn-sized place he goes shopping at. I bought that for you in, like, February.
Right.
And because I'm literally a millionaire, it rolled around in the trunk of one of my cars. I didn't know which car. for a number of months. I told you that I bought it for you, and I couldn't find it. Well, as it turns out, it was in the trunk of a BMW M3 that was at a tuner in Van Nuys yesterday. And this is a car that is fast, just bone stock, comes from the factory with 333 horsepower, but I got some friend who's a nut who decided to go nuts on the car. I didn't really want him to go that nutty on the car, but he just kept going. It was one of those things. And the car now probably has about 575 horsepower. And it's a scary car to drive. It's like that. First off, it's hard to drive it slowly because it's so fast. And between the clutch being like you're doing a hack slide at the gym, I mean, the clutch feels like it takes 2 feet to depress it because it's an aftermarket clutch. It's really stiff in order to accommodate 575 horsepower because the stock clutch, which is a good clutch, it just spins because there's too much horsepower. The car's scary to drive, and the car's wickedly fast. It's a kind of car that, as you're going along in third gear and you start winding it out, the back end will break free and the tires will start spinning, even if you're going 50 miles an hour. And it's fun, but it's a little bit hairy. But the thing had been sitting at this guy's shop for months and months. And I finally went to go pick it up yesterday. That's when I found your Mace Windu edition of the lightsaber. But so I was thrilled for that first. And then secondly, I was going to get my beloved car back that had become a little too much car. It's really now
faster than a juiced up Floyd Landis.
Yes, it is made for the track now.
Right, it's almost twice the horsepower that you bought it with.
Yeah, and it was formerly a fast car stock. So when I was pulling away from the mechanic for my buddy who's working on the car, this is bad, what you don't want to do when you own a shop. The car died right at the bottom of the driveway while I was trying to back it out because it hadn't been started in a while and the battery was low. So he said, well, you want to stay here and charge it up? Do you want to stay here and make sure? And I guess this is a way you can sort of test. I guess this is an interesting personality test. I started the car. I backed out 20 feet. I looked over my shoulder to finish backing, and the car died. And we started it up immediately with a battery, whatever. But he said, you want to stay here? Should we let it idle? Should we drive around the block for a little bit? Should we leave it on the charger? I said, nah, I'm out of here. So I just drove home, knowing that the car could stall again. And if the car did stall again, wherever it stalled, whether it be on the freeway or out in the middle of Van Nuys somewhere, I was just where I would be stuck.
But
there.
Was this because you wanted to, because you did the math, like, I don't know if I want to sit one-on-one with this guy for more time than I need to. It might become uncomfortable.
There are many elements running through my head. It was like 3:30 in the afternoon. I was overdue for a nap. I also knew that the car, the longer it ran, the longer the battery would charge, in theory. And all I had to do was not let it stall, and I would be fine. So I drove home, and not only did I want to test out the car, but I wanted to keep the revs going to keep the battery going. I didn't want to let it, sit at a red light and have it stall out, in which case I couldn't start it again. So I'm driving, down Burbank Boulevard or something. It's just the road just opened up in front of me, and I just thought, well, it's time to see how these new injectors and the bigger pulleys and the throttle body and the supercharger, and the new clutch, I'm going to see how all this works together. And I just put my foot into it. And then, like I said, the car gets violent. It reacts violently. You get pushed back in your seat. And that's a V8. But anyway, the tail breaks loose a little bit, and things just happen. It like I said, the car, and once you get over like 4,000 RPMs, the car gets like angry, like once more. Because the way the supercharger works, and Dave, you know how the supercharger works from watching the movie Road Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
He would engage the supercharger. The supercharger, the faster the engine turns, the faster the supercharger turns, the more it's a vicious cycle, the more air gets compressed and shoved down into the intake. So as the RPMs, you don't feel it too much under 2,000, 3,000 RPMs. As you get into 5,000 and 6,000 RPMs, it starts going nuts. It acts like it's going to explode. So I was in that mode when I blew past a cop. Now, the thing about me is I have this disorder where I happen to notice everything, and that's why I'm bothered all the time, and that's why we're going to play What Can Adam Complain About in 10 minutes. But this guy, I was going so fast, I didn't see him, and I'm good with the cops, and he was parked between two parked cars, a motorcycle cop. He'd wedged himself between two parked cars, and he had the gun out. And I did see him. I saw him sitting there, and I saw him with the gun, but I was doing 65 or whatever the hell I was doing when the car was vibrating so much I couldn't clearly see the speedometer. But I saw him immediately, and there's nothing I could do because I saw, I was in front of him 100 yards, but he still clearly was fixated right on me, and this must have looked like I must have looked like a wounded rabbit in the eyes of a coyote.
What color is this car, just for the visual, as you're streaking down the freeway?
It's a very midnight bluey color, and
it looks black.
Wasn't on the freeway, was on the street. That was the bad
down
part.
Down Burbank.
Yeah, Oxnard or Burbank. Anyway, I mean, I saw this guy blew past him, and I immediately just started pulling over because I knew he was coming, and I thought, well, I don't want him to think I'm joyriding. I want him to know I did wrong.
Right.
So I started pulling over, and I was looking through my rear, and he definitely was pulling out. By the time we got to the next signal, I was over. Nothing worse, by the way, than when you pull up. What's with the looky-loos? The people have never seen anyone actually receive a ticket before. By the way, how much excitement is there visually in seeing a guy getting a talking to and then written up with a summons?
You're just so relieved that it's not you that you have to look.
How about you offer the people the quiet dignity? do not put the final insult in on the person that's getting the goddamn ticket, all you rubberneckers. Let the guy have his dignity. For Christ's sake, it's a bad enough day for the guys getting the ticket without you and your Ray-Bans bending your neck around trying to look and see what's going on. And by the way, there's nothing going on. You're sitting there. You know, okay, once in a blue moon you get a Rodney King type situation, and maybe that's what keeps it going. Hey, something could break out.
It's all these shows that air after midnight that show the POV of from the cop car. It's always the worst case. This is what people think they're going to be eyewitness to.
That's why if I was a cop, I would never turn my camera on. Because I know the likelihood of this guy pulling the Derringer out of his boot and coming at me now has just gone up tenfold because I turned the camera on. This will be my last image. Will be me running for cover as he shoots me in the ass.
Did you apologize immediately before waiting for him to ask you what you did wrong?
I immediately apologized. I let him know what I did wrong, and you know I told him, look, you know, two things. First off, just yes sir and no sir, and the hands up on the wheel, and you know, total cooperation. Because the only way to get out of anything is just to have them feel a little bit bad that they're making a nice person. Here's the thing. You get a ticket, they know it's going to ruin your day. When there's somebody you don't like, you would like it if their day is ruined. If there's someone you do like, you don't like ruining their day. You feel bad about it. You have a choice. So make them feel bad about ruining your day. So, you know, yes sir, no sir. And, you know, I know you may not believe this, but I literally picked up the car 3 blocks ago and I hadn't had it in 6 months and I was just blowing a little carbon out of the valves, you know. And he was under
Does he recognize you?
Doesn't appear to at this point. Mm-hmm. Don't know if he does or not. I don't think he does.
But it could be Officer Coy.
You never know. You never know. But it doesn't seem like it. And then he says to me, where'd you get the hat? Because I'm constantly wearing a hat. And I said, I don't know, which hat am I wearing? Because I swap hats around all the time. And he says, I pulled off, I look at it, says LAPD on it.
I remember that yesterday.
I was wearing it yesterday. I was wearing my LAPD hat. And he said, where'd you get the hat? I said, I do a fair amount of charity work with the group.
It's your lucky day with that hat.
That's really what you said?
Yes.
But you actually do charity for LAPD.
Yeah, sure. I go, you know, you play a golf tournament. I mean, that's the beauty. I'm not out there working with a widowed, you know, their husbands have fallen in the line of duty, and I'm over there making top ramen for the kids over at their house. I'm just playing golf with Andy Garcia.
But funds do help the widows and orphans.
I don't know where it goes. Point is I got a hat.
Buying new hats is where it goes.
Right.
Wow.
So the guy's like, I did that, do some charity. I didn't want to go over the top with it. I didn't know where I was going either. Well, what kind of charity? I gave him I'm not going to BS you. I'm not volunteering every weekend over at the precinct, but I play some celebrity golf tournament. I do what I can, you know. Well, where'd you get the hat? The guys came by and we had them on the radio, you know. Just a little appreciation
nice
for playing in the tournaments
sprinkling,
and stuff.
And sprinkling in, you know, I do some celebrity golf tournaments and I talk about it on my radio show.
Yeah.
I can't believe you've worn that hat exactly once since I've worked here.
And when my dad, I mean, I call him his honor, I don't call him dad. When he signed me up for this golf tournament... So he said he wanted to keep going on the charity thing, but I was kind of running out of stuff other than golf, and guys came by and gave me the hat and that kind of stuff. And he said, all right, well, slow it down.
Nice.
Yeah.
That couldn't lead more neatly into the Floyd Landis of coming in today. And honor him, we're going to talk about the best excuses one could give. That's a pretty good one. And by the way, now this is a good idea. Everybody should have a ball cap that says the local police force on there.
Geez, I don't know, but it'd be worth the $18 it costs to have one made up, and I'll have the different municipalities.
Yeah.
Pop on the sheriff, the West LA sheriff. There's Burbank. There's all different municipalities. You have to have 8 or 10 hats in your car. I don't know if it would spoil it if they saw 28 different hats rolling around Kentucky PD and stuff like that. All right. Well, there you go, everybody.
Awesome.
Yeah. $5 at Venice Beach will buy you one of those hats.
All right, we need to. Although, conversely, I think when they see that bumper sticker that says "Back the Badge" on it, they look at that as ass kissing, and you get an extra shot with the nightstick for that.
It's ass kiss rodeo.
All right, we will take ourselves a little break. We'll play a spirited round. Thank you, Brian. Get it out of your system before people start listening. What can Adam complain about is what we're going to play when we come back. You have problems. I am going to. I don't have answers for it. I will make them melt away via contrasting them. You will realize that your problems pale in comparison to other problems that people have, and I will shine that light on them.
What we
yes.
like is, you know, because you can complain, it's pedestrian to complain about, you know, Benny Laden and Hezbollah and so on and so forth.
Yeah, hold on. I think I described something else. Yes. I think I just described.
You complain about bad things, like, I mean, you complain about the things that seem
kittens
impervious
and
to complaints.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I just did Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
I got it now. I got the game now.
NFL football. So call in with your complaints.
That's right. No. Yes. Yes.
Can you complain about this intro?
Call in with your topic, and I will complain about it. Thank you. After this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tour de France winner, Floyd Landis. Coming in.
Are you going to ask him tough questions, Carolla?
I will, no, I will underhand softballs at him. Because that's the way I do my interview. Yeah.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Be like Mike Wallace.
I got to tell you, asking the tough questions is fantastic for the viewer, but very uncomfortable for the person who's asking the tough questions.
Yes.
Especially when the, sometimes not in Floyd's case, but once in a while, the person is menacing.
Yes.
And then it factors in like, hey, man, ask Suge Knight what the hell went on with Snoop and why he thinks he, I'll fire him off an email. I'm not going to do it when he's in the room.
He's dangling out the window.
All right, I'll do it because now that you give me this lightsaber, like I said, I'm going to mount it up over my head. It'll always be there. It'll be the sword of Damocles. Mm-hmm. But instead of lording over my head, anyone who feels that I've crossed them and wishes to say anything to me, I shall just remove the Mace Windu edition saber and strike them down.
You're that
I should
nerd.
Become more powerful than they can possibly imagine.
You asked a tough something. Question, and I can't remember to who now, but he wanted to kill you. A guy from Sopranos.
A couple, yeah. Big Pussy didn't like me.
Shut up
and F my a-hole. Big Pussy didn't appreciate me asking about him slapping his old lady around at all. Sugar Ray didn't like me calling him a bastard either.
Those were two of the most uncomfortable moments.
I think in his, maybe Sugar's old school, or there's a cultural thing, but bastard may literally mean out of wedlock.
Yeah.
And there's a decent chance that the Sugar Man didn't know Papa too well, so you may have hit a little close to home.
I see.
You know that thing?
Yeah.
Certain times you say things, and then, like, in my culture, that's what that means. Once in a while, you call a real Jew, you call him, like, a schmuck or something. It's like, that's like using the N-word. You're like, come on, it's funny sounding. Oh, no. You know that guy?
Yeah.
That super blowhard?
Yeah.
I'm going to add that to my blowhard list of when you explain that whatever this is the equivalent to using the N-word.
Yeah.
Really? Putz? That's the N-word? Wow. All right. We are going to play What Can't Adam Complain About? You call up. You throw out topics you think cannot be complained about, and I will prove you wrong.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
All right, here we go. Round one. John.
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
Topic, stoner.
You guys are killing me. Today's my 43rd birthday, and I wanted to ask you, how can you complain about having a birthday?
Well, birthday's a double-edged sword. It's cool when you're 15 and you're turning 16 and you can now get your driver's license. It's bad when you're 42 and you're turning 43 and you're still smoking copious amounts of weed and don't have a checking account and now have officially put one foot in the grave. Because that's what the birthday is. It is the marker that says you get one day closer to the final destination, 1 year closer to the final destination, and sweet relief. Death. That's what it is. I mean, if you really think about it, my grandmother turned 93 the other day.
God bless her.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see about that. Atheist, communist, hippie. Believe me, sex out of wedlock. We'll see if she even speaks to the Almighty. Point is, he's just going to be chased around with a pitchfork. Return it. Point is, it's, for her, 93, not a great thing. She's one step closer.
Yeah.
Yes? All right. Plus, a certain amount of pressure. If you're socially awkward like I am, and I don't consider myself socially awkward, I just like to fly under the radar. You know what I mean? I like to, you know, I like to be in a group. I like to go out to dinner with people. But I don't want everyone turning to me and singing a song and asking me how I feel and raising a toast to me. It's very embarrassing. And I know people are coming from the right place. And I know they have love in their heart when they do it. But whether it's a surprise party or whether it's all the waiters at the Cheesecake Factory gathering around me and singing a happy birthday to the Ace Man, uncomfortable with the attention. Don't like the attention. Don't tell people it's my birthday. They somehow people have made it their business to find out and do something at the workplace. I'm uncomfortable with it. And I think I speak for my two partners.
Yes.
Yes. And as a sidebar, I don't like it when the restaurants make up their own happy birthday song.
Yeah, that's right.
Happy birthday. No.
Stick to the basics.
There's a classic. Sing that one.
That's right. All right. Let's talk to Marvin. Marvin.
Hey there. How you doing, Adam?
Topic, please. Doing well.
Vacations.
Well, you know, you think about a vacation. Let's see, what time is it? Is my wife up? Vacation is cool. There's two types of vacations that are cool, but I don't really get to go on these ones anymore. There's that first vacation. There's that you guys met 14 days ago, and now
Vegas.
You're going to Santa Barbara, yeah. Vegas, or Palm Springs, and it's going to be an F-Fest. This is awesome. Oh, what you're going to do to that indoor jacuzzi. They're going to have to fill it with cement when we're done with this. That gives way to the, we've been sleeping in the same bed for 8 years now. Now we're going to sleep in a slightly less comfortable bed that's somewhere else that I'm paying a lot for. That, by the way, the guy who was on the 14-day vacation with his new gal just soiled the hell out of this thing. I mean, it's still hot. If I could take one of those purple woods lights to it, I would see a pentagram, a 6-foot pentagram on that California King. So it's a lot of money, and it's a lot of travel, and then you got that sort of, look, if we wanted to talk, we'd sit in the same room when we ate dinner. Now, forced to, and I hate to cop a dude, but I got to tell you, years, thanks, Bri-Bri. Years and years of sleeping on Murphy beds and futons with roommates and living in crappy apartments with no air conditioning and just all that. When I would go stay in a Motel 6, it would be, oh, my God, the queen has arrived in her castle. I mean, that was the feeling. It was, what a treat it was having a bathroom with hot water and high shower pressure and, you know, clean sheets and that kind of stuff. Now I have a nice home. My bed is better than the bed that I will find when I travel.
A 5-star hotel, luxury hotel, still going to be a step down for you.
It will be essentially Port of Sam for me. That's for me. So now, relatively, when I travel, I essentially step down. I don't have my dog. I don't have my lucky pillow. I don't have all the junk. I don't have my 65-inch television set. I don't have any of the good junk that I created in my nest. I'm now leaving my nest. And to me, that's 3/4 of travel. You want to leave a crappy apartment in North Hollywood and go somewhere that's better, not take a step down. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Let's see. Red.
Yes.
Your topic, please.
Yes. I know you can't complain about battery-operated tools like a drill or a saw or any of them construction tools.
Mm-hmm. What part of England are you from?
Oh, he's got a cute giggle.
I live in Fresno right now.
Uh-huh. All right. Where are you from originally?
Cuba. I called you the other day.
Ooh, Cuba.
Big fan of yours.
Cuba. Thank you. Yeah. I don't want to go off on a tangent, but let's agree. Is it Cuba or is it Cuba? Because I don't like it when the Islanders do the Cuba. It's a correction. It's a way of correcting you. You go, oh, you're from Cuba? That's right, I'm from Cuba.
Yeah, I'm from Cuba.
You're from Cuba. All right. And you want to know if I can complain about battery-operated tools?
Yes.
I can complain about them, not because of the marvelous technology that they possess, but because they weren't really around in full force when I was doing this for a living. I was schlepping the heavy stuff and running power cords and firing up generators to find my stuff. Now, it's very easy to have battery-operated tools. You don't have to schlep things. You don't need a power source. And forget about asking me what I think about the battery-operated tools. How about asking that poor sap in the subway of New York City, New York City, that was attacked
by the saw
with a sawzall, a reciprocating saw, a bayonet saw, if you will, all battery-operated. Now here's the deal, fellas. In the past, if you wanted to break into a grammar school or something on a weekend, you had to cut through the chain link fence or get through the whatever, do the whatever, you couldn't do it. You'd have to run a cord and run a this and get a power source and run some 220 with a twist lock and all kinds of stuff. Now, think about this. Picture one of those reciprocating saws. Picture one of those, essentially, they call the sawzall, 18-volt or 22-volt power pack and a little can of WD-40. There's no place I couldn't get into with that. Put a nice metal bit on that thing. You're getting it in. And those things are powerful, too. You could do damage to not only property, but your person if you got hit with one of those things. So now every crazy person has added another weapon to their arsenal. And that's how I can complain about battery-operated tools. Thank you.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
Viva complaints and viva Cuba.
Yes, well done. You brought in current events.
Thank you. All right. Well, that's how I roll. T?
Yes.
What's going on in the news department, baby
doll?
Well,
lucky us, because we have Perez Hilton calling in with some exclusive information about Lindsay Lohan. She fired off one email, and it was to Perez, and we have him calling in. That and some information that you are not going to like about the Super Bowl. Hard to imagine, but it is true.
Speaking, that's the end of football, but football season, the dawn has just arrived. And so we're going to play a brand new game, a variation on NBA player tech stock. This is going to be NFL draft pick or Star Wars character.
Oh,
call
wow.
in. An wow, array that's of lovely up. Gifts, yes.
Jack Silver, didn't you just tell Dave not to talk before we went to break yesterday after the show?
Cut it off, beast!
Because you should leave on a high, right?
Leave on your best stuff, i.e. not Dave.
Well, Jack, I was just going, I was about ready to throw it to break, and then I hear Dave chime in.
Come on, let the horses run, peeps. Let's go.
I mean, I don't know if I'm supposed to tackle him or pull his mic away from him. I can't stop him. He's an adult, you know.
Chainsaw.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back with all that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. In theaters tomorrow, Oliver Stone's latest movie, World Trade Center, starring Nicolas Cage.
We've got to evacuate the tower. Who's coming? Step forward.
Now with a review of Oliver Stone's new movie, a bald guy who gets paid to make fart sounds. Brian Bishop on The Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, he is. All right, so Brian's going to give us a quick review of this movie because he's seen it already. Then we'll have Perez Hilton calling in. We'll play our game, our sports game news, all that. Floyd Landis, Tour de France winner, coming in studio as well. Brian, when did you... He's got to give himself the applause.
This is Floyd Landis.
Oh, okay. When did you see the movie?
Hold on a second. I want to play this.
All right. Jesus Christ. Brian.
Tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen.
Brian.
You understand you're not in your fort.
I'm so pleased right now.
Talking into a Campbell's can.
I saw it. I saw a preview screening about 2 weeks ago.
Really?
At USC. My roommate is a faculty there. He got me into the screening. Mm-hmm. There was a Q&A with the producer of the movie who also produced Pulp Fiction. So it was interesting.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
So what'd you think?
Overall,
is it out this Wednesday?
It comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Comes out tomorrow. I'm not sure
why. No one figured out why it comes out on a Wednesday.
That's the thing they usually do for big summer movies before like a big box office weekend. I don't know why they're doing this on a Wednesday.
All right.
But either way. It's an undeniably good movie. The movie is definitely good.
Mm-hmm.
Very sort of intense.
Yeah.
kind of emotional. It's a weird thing because it's directed by Oliver Stone, who does a lot of really gritty movies. You know, he did
Doors and Platoon.
Yeah, Platoon, JFK, Natural Born Killers, some really kind of gritty movies. And this movie has really soft edges. It's kind of Ron Howard, Spielberg-esque, you know what I mean? You come out of it not really knowing that it was an Oliver Stone picture.
Well, where something like Platoon was made to be sort of a wake-up call, like, here's what really went on over here to all you folks that are waving the flag back in the States. Mm-hmm. This was something where everyone knew all the details of, and he's trying to make it a tug at your heartstrings a little bit rather than wake you up.
Yeah, like I said, it's got soft edges. It's definitely not there to jolt you. It's sort of there to move you sort of emotionally.
A lot of stock footage.
No, in fact, he recreated a lot of stuff from the day. There's really? A lot of news footage on TVs. Like, you see what people see, and it puts you sort of in the moment of the day. No, not a lot of stock footage. He doesn't show the planes hitting the towers. Like I said, he soft pedals a lot of the big emotional stuff.
Yeah, but big effects. I mean, seeing buildings come down
and
everything.
The sets are amazing. They rebuilt the sets out here in L.A. for the actual collapsed buildings. And the shots inside the buildings with the police officers with the building imploding on top of them is really astounding stuff.
I wonder if Al Qaeda took credit for that anyway, just like
the special effects.
Yeah, well, just I don't know what went. No, just a couple buildings that came down. Might as well put their name on it. So, what do you think?
Overall, I give it a B plus or an A minus. Like I said, intense. Intense and really well done. The acting's fantastic.
Did you cry?
It got a little dusty in the theater at the end.
No.
Here's the thing. At the end, they actually have the two stars of the movie. They recreated a real-life picnic with their families, and the actual guys, the victims, families, and associated co-workers and things were all there at the end.
It was tough. I got to tell you, I see Saving Private Ryan, and he's standing at the tomb. He's standing at the guy's headstone at the end, and he's asking his wife if he led a good life. And I'll tell you, I get a little choked
that's
up.
That's the thing. It's not all inside the towers. It's a lot of his wife and unborn children and kids. And it's a wraps.
So I should leave about 94 minutes into the movie, so I make an ass of myself.
For about 98 minutes and get out of
that's
there.
That's got to be hard when you're a guy, because you're going to cry in Saving Private Ryan.
Well, listen, if you're Bill the board op, and you've already buried Dave's new lightsaber inside yourself.
Deep within.
As if you're checking your own oil.
Hey, get in line, Bill.
It's no big deal, but when you're Dave Damashek or Adam Carolla and the tears, and especially if you have people that enjoy making fun of you, like my wife enjoys it, you know. Hey, look at him. Oh, and I'm like, well, so, you know, every time my wife calls me stupid or weak or girly or something, I think, well, who's the joke on, sweetie? You married it.
Did you cry at
you married
an
idiot.
Field of Dreams?
No, because I don't like, I refuse to get sappy about a retarded sport that goes on way too long.
And by the way,
Kevin Costner wanting to catch with his dad.
Yeah,
kiss my ass.
I was just going to say, do you think that resonates for Carolla? His old man. It was a throwback.
Did you cry at Great Santini? That was probably closer.
Back in the cornfields of North Hollywood, me and Pops Carolla would have a catch.
Shoeless Carolla would show up.
Kicked a softball with Mexicans at the park. I didn't play catch with my dad. My dad doesn't own a mitt. But I still don't like that super sappy baseball-y crap. It's like when I hear Billy Crystal or Bob Costas talking about it, I want to reach to the screen and strangle them. Talking about going with their pussy dads over the stupid stadium and watching their idols play, but drunk racists chase around a ball, please.
Yes, the World Trade Center was
good. Yes. Sorry, Brian. B plus, A minus.
It's a good move. Undeniably good. Definitely intense if you can stomach it and sit through 2 hours of this
we
kind of
should
stuff,
see that.
Go for
did it leave you?
It left this reviewer cold.
Is,
Brian's.
We hope you did not end up confused.
Quick question. Now, it is a true story, right?
It is a very accurate, very true story.
Very accurate and very true. I don't remember hearing about anybody really being, it was sort of, I walked away, at least now 5 years later, my thing was like, geez, nobody survived. Nobody got taken out of that place.
They pulled 20 police officers out of the World Trade Center wreckage. 20 alive at the time police officers.
Within 24 hours.
Yes, from the wreckage.
From the wreckage, but it wasn't a week later or anything like that.
I don't know how you could survive, underneath that for more than a day or whatever. So
right.
They were, in fact, I know for a fact it was all within 24 hours.
They've pulled 20. Because it's weird. It's like the grim task of removing, you know, looking, but it's gone from search and rescue to retrieval of bodies. I always remember that sort of part. Yeah. I don't remember any good news of like, hey, they found some guys, you know?
And every character in the movie is actually a real person, not just based on a couple people. It's interesting the way they cast it. You'll know when you see it, go out and see it, but it's all real people.
I like it when they throw a bone to the actual guy. Like, well, no, obviously, we're not going to let you be able to play the lead in our big budget movie, but we'll throw you a bone. You can play one of the terrorists on the plane or, well, maybe, I'm not saying, as an example, or a bartender. Something like that. Stroma bump.
I do. That's always the best part of those movies is when they show what the real people look like, and you're like, wow.
Yeah. You
know, no wonder they have matinee idols playing these people.
Right. Well, Nick Cage was it Maria Bello?
Nick Cage, Maria Bello, and the supporting actor from the movie Crash was fantastic. He was the best part of the movie, Michael Pena.
Maria Bello had to pack on a few pounds to play her role. Which is always a little slap in the face to the real person. Yeah, I was up for the part of Damashek on the Adam Carolla Show to put on it. Well, why am I having a second order of pasta? Have you seen him? No, well, no, we want this to be very realistic.
Well, then you have to have lunch with Damashek so you can get to know him and then hear how he vocalizes, get his patterns. And while you're at lunch, you have to say, I'm eating so much to gain weight to play you.
Yes. All right.
Good times.
Now, Perez Hilton. That's right. Now, do we want to set up Perez before we bring him on, T?
Sure. Well, basically, you may remember that recently production on her film Georgia Rule, the name of which you've mocked ceaselessly.
Yes. I don't like that.
Well, production was stopped because she was in the hospital for dehydration. That's what her people said. The producer of the movie wrote her an angry letter accusing her of all-night partying. The letter ended up on everywhere on The Smoking Gun, all online. Lindsay has not responded to the media. Her mother came out and responded and got angry at the producer. But apparently, Lindsay Lohan wrote one email to one man, and that man was Perez.
Man.
She tasted like champagne.
I was wondering why you were looking at me like that.
It's more Lucille Ball than man. Perez?
Hello.
One man received one email, and that was you.
I know. I loved it.
So what did the email
say? Made it dramatic for you.
And do you know, how well do you know Lindsay Lohan?
I know her quite well. That's why I knew it wasn't a fake email. I mean, we email each other. I know her email address.
What is it? Kidding.
I can't tell you.
Firecrotch.org.
I'm dehydrated, hot pants.
But she sent me this kind of dramatic email. At first, I was very concerned because it began by saying that she saw three kids almost hit by the paparazzi. I'm like, oh my God, did she get into another car accident? That's like the worst thing she needs right now. That's not what should be happening.
Right.
But thankfully, that's not what happened. It was just a little encounter at the Ivy in Beverly Hills where she was overwhelmed by the paparazzi attention. I think this was just her way of finally voicing her opinion. She said that she voiced her frustration with the paparazzi and asked people not to judge her and made sure to put a little dig in at the producer of her movie, too.
Well, can I chime in with something, and then we'll get to the actual email. I've said this many times. If you want to avoid the paparazzi, why are you going to the goddamn Ivy to eat lunch?
Ivy exists so that paparazzi can photograph stars there, right, Perez?
Sort of. I mean, I see both sides of the picture.
I don't. If you want to avoid, if you truly want to avoid, well, forget about paparazzi. Let's forget about what's called paparazzi. Let's say it's somebody named Paul Arazzi. All right? It's a guy named Paul Arazzi. He's a badass. You nailed his girlfriend 6 months ago, and he's looking for you. Now, he eats at this restaurant every day. Are you going there? If you want to avoid him, are you going to the restaurant that he eats at every single day for 9 hours? Are you going to see Paul Arazzi over there if you want to avoid him? Yes or no? Idiots. Of course.
Well, let me say this. She said in her email, quote, "It's disgusting what these goddamn people are doing to me. It's vulgar, and I'm saddened for myself." Yes, Perez?
Yes.
Perez, but as I spoke to Dr. Drew about this many times, and by the way, he wants to talk to you about the Hep C vaccine. I've spoke to him many, many times about this, and he says 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds, 25-year-olds, they don't get heat exhaustion. They don't get dehydrated. They don't get any of this stuff. They party too hard. They do too many drugs. They drink too much. But you don't get dehydrated when you're 19 on a set. And then you call your mom and you say, Mom, they won't give me any water.
I think she said mommy.
Right. That's what it's like on a movie set. You've been on a movie set, Perez. There's no water to be found.
Well, that was the most recent. That was her third or fourth hospitalization of just this year. She was hospitalized in January for an asthma attack, then again in January for cutting herself.
Mm-hmm.
An accident.
Right.
Yes, or just a way to feel.
Yeah, her in the Hoff.
Do you feel, Perez, even though she's your friend, is this all a bunch of applesauce from a drama queen?
It's an interesting situation with Lindsay because she does play along. She's not like Mary-Kate Olsen, meaning she won't hide and cover her head underneath a towel when the paparazzi sees her. She'll give them a shot. But then I guess she's just trying to tell them, like, there's only so much I can take.
Because
I understand, like, you're going to the Ivy and you're going to be photographed, but there was literally well over 10 paparazzi just taking her picture, which is...
She's at the Ivy, though.
All right, I want to amend my things. There's 10 guys named Paul Arazzi. There's the Arazzi brothers, Tony Arazzi, Carmine Arazzi, and they all hang out at this one place, and they all want you, and you want to avoid them. So you go there for lunch twice a week.
I mean, you expect there to be a couple there. Maybe
but listen, you're focusing on the wrong... on the wrong thing here. She loves the attention, obviously, or she wouldn't seek it out, okay?
Yes.
Fine. Listen, you're 21, you're beautiful, you want to see your picture in the paper? I don't hold that against you. Just don't spoon-feed me the crap about wanting to be left alone and then showing back up at the Arazzi Boys restaurant. That's all. Stop lying. And then stop lying about this. I don't know. You know, you heard her mom. Her mom seems nuttier than she is. I don't know what this old man has against my daughter. She showed up a little bit late one day. So what's the big deal?
Have you met Dina?
Yes, she's crazy.
Yeah, of course. Like to get hurt and Joe Simpson together, whoever the Simpson dad is. As a matter of fact, I would like to get Joe Jackson, the Jackson dad, and then the Simpson dad, and then Dina all together in some kind of bizarre threesome and just see what kind of monster sprang forth from her loins in 9 months.
I don't think Joe Simpson is crazy. I just think he's evil, but in a really smart way.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what Joe Simpson does, actually? I'm not even kidding you. This is true. You can go on to the website wireimage.com, which is like a photo agency website. He will take his own paparazzi pictures of his own daughters and then sell them.
Yeah, my daughter is a nice D cup. I mean, that's more than a mouthful. So you can't walk away from that. Yeah, I had her up on the stage singing over at the church, you know, because I was the pastor over there. But when those D cups started popping around 15, man, I'll tell you, it was Hollywood. After that, excuse me, I got to get my hair frosted.
I'm a pastor and a father, but I'm a man first.
Yeah. I wear a hoop earring. I get my hair frosted. I'm 48 years old. That's a great look. By the way, listen, to all the 48-year-old guys who think it's a cool idea to get themselves a hoop earring and a little frosting on the hair, it's not helping. It's hurting. Hold on, Jack Silver wants to say something.
Uh-oh.
Jack.
Don't know what you're talking about, peeps.
All right, Jack.
Perez, are you still standing by the story you broke that Jenna Jameson and Dave Navarro are a couple now?
That's what he told me himself last night.
Mm-hmm.
Last night.
I'm in Chicago.
That's the puppet that controls you? or you're actually talking about Dave Navarro?
Dave Navarro.
He's a really nice guy, isn't he?
He's a very nice guy.
And he's going out with Jenna Jameson.
I mean, I don't think, obviously, it's, like, super serious at this point, or they're maybe not even exclusive, but they're definitely dating.
You know, let me say Dave Damashek over here, he said, well, why is he going out with her?
I just said it's a big step down from Elektra.
No, I'll tell you why. I agree with you. These guys, these Charlie Sheen types that going after the porn stars, like, you're like, what's in it for them? Well, I'll tell you what's in it for them. First off, you don't have to have a serious relationship because it's like dating somebody who lives in another country. It's like, this is what you do when you want to get laid, when it's too soon to rebound, when you just want to have some S's and some giggles. And no matter how serious it gets, she's a porn star. Now, I get the chance to nail somebody I was formerly masturbating to for the last 10 years, and I never have to take her home to meet mom and pops.
I see.
Press, I think that's what's in it.
Do you know Jenna Jameson?
I do know Jenna Jameson, and she's a very nice lady.
I was going to say, I read her book, and she seems like a very nice woman.
Yes.
She is. I know her as well, and she's a doll. And rich, yes.
Really, really rich.
All right, Perez.
Bye, Perez.
Bye.
Thank you, Perez.
You're welcome.
Well, he did admit that Lohan's mom was a nut job.
Right away. Didn't hesitate.
Didn't take him long.
By the way, the Rotsy boys that you were talking about, yes. You know Paul. Their father's name, Paparazzi.
Right. Paparazzi.
Thank you.
Should have got that. All right. Running a little bit late. Need to take a little break, but that's all right because we got news and we got sports. And what's the game we're going to play during sports?
We're going to play NFL draft pick or Star Wars character.
Also, Floyd Landis.
Stay on the line. Call in because we got lots of prizes. So.
Tour de France winner Floyd Landis coming into studio as well. All that next.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's program director Jack Silver with what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show.
What up, peeps? It's your homeboy, Jack Silver. Time to kick the tires and light the fires on this bad boy. Hey, we got Tour de France winner Floyd Landis in studio. Hey, that's dope. Get it? Dope. That's good stuff, Silver. Hey, Ace Man, you can use that. We also got Robert Cannavale from Snakes on a Plane. You mess with the bull, you get the horns, peeps. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, forget about me. Here's Teresa Strasser with the news.
Arab diplomats and UN Security Council members are meeting today in New York City to try to hammer out a ceasefire in the Middle East. Lebanon is pledging up to 15,000 troops to a peacekeeping mission if Israel pulls back. The plan is backed by the two Hezbollah members that are part of Lebanon's cabinet. So far, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's response, he calls the plan, quote, interesting.
Well, here's what we need to focus on, because I'm going to go way out on a limb and say by year 25 or 30 now, the whole peace thing may not be working out so well over there. I call me crazy. I'm one of these things where I say the yarmulke's half empty. I'm not one of these yarmulke half full guys.
I was watching the news last night, and I thought if there were a drinking game and every time you heard the phrase sustainable ceasefire, you had to drink, you would be drunk.
Yeah.
That's all you hear.
Or sectarian violence.
Yes, that's another one.
I'd name a horse that if I owned a racehorse.
Like a thoroughbred.
Here's my thing. Instead of focusing on how to figure out a way for these two folks to get along, how about we figure out a way for one of the sides to quit hating Jews so much, and perhaps we can find our answer there. Because to me, as long as they all want the Jews to die, it's going to be an uphill battle. Mm. That's just me.
Well, thank you for the segue to my Mel Gibson story.
Ah, yes.
Speaking of people who may or may not like the Jews, obviously he was arrested for DUI. Now,
what?
Some of the... Yes, I know.
Should have been wearing my cop hat.
I know. Should have been playing golf for
charity.
Instead
of that lampshade.
Well, he was hanging out with some ladies at the Moonshadow in Malibu, and those ladies ended up on Good Morning America yesterday. They had a number of interesting things to say. First, they said he was drinking water, and to prove it, he had them taste his water, which seems maybe the lady doth protest
too
much.
From the Sea of Galilee. He's a very religious man.
And also, they said that he appeared tipsy, although he was walking straight, and that a bunch of people offered him a ride home, but he said no. I don't need a ride home. I'll drive myself. And also, the girls mentioned that he was discussing his movie, The Passion of the Christ. Here's the girls yesterday.
We were talking about a lot of his films and a lot of his upcoming projects, just in general, just conversation as you would talk about what anyone's doing with their lives. And he mentioned just, do you guys know what I went through with the kind of controversy that movie caused me? And of course, we laughed. I was like, of course.
Mm-hmm. So he had just been talking about The Passion of the Christ before he got behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm. These chicks were all pretty hot, right?
They were, yeah. They were. I think some of them, they were kind of, you know, blonde. Mm-hmm. Basic,
sixes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sevens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If I'm feeling generous.
I'd say that. Okay. So I mentioned earlier news about the Super Bowl. The halftime show, always a big deal, especially since the Janet Jackson incident. People are being a little more careful. The New York Post is reporting. Who will be headlining the 2007 Super Bowl halftime show? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be so drunk by then and my Rams will be up by so many points that it won't matter.
Nothing says rough and tumble, pigskin action like Prince.
Jesus, Madden's going to go out of his mind. He's a huge Prince fan.
He loves Raspberry Beret.
He did 5 minutes in his Hall of Fame speech on the influence of Prince's music on his work.
Believe me, yeah. I heard sugar walls in the background when he was doing it. What is going on with this country?
I'm sorry. I wanted somebody who I wanted somebody who cares about you to break it to you.
Oh, please. What was Blood, Sweat, and Tears doing?
A bar mitzvah in Saskatchewan.
They were booked on a riverboat in Kansas City. It was cemented. I do love that kind of stuff where it's like, well, gambling's illegal in our state. All right, but how about out in the water? No, that's fine. All right, well, how about we build a lake? We put a casino on it. We just cement it to the lake. Yeah, yeah. And you just walk over onto it. Yeah, no, that's illegal now. Okay. Does anyone stop at any given point? I know I'm all over the place. That's what I'm talking about. Does anyone stop at any given point and go, this is insane?
So wait, you can do anything on a boat?
Hey, when gambling was illegal or it's still illegal, there used to be gambling barges out off of the pier in Santa Monica, 6 miles out or 3 miles out, international waters.
Right.
Back in the heyday, back in the 30s or 40s, maybe even later, you would get on a little cigarette boat. It would take you out to the casino, which was moored in international waters.
Why
and you would
they
just
bring
gamble
that back? That would be fantastic.
Couldn't you have prostitutes on the boat, too?
You could have everything on the boat because it was in international waters. As a matter of fact, I'd like to build a house in international waters. What's Corolla doing? He's got a pot farm going, and he's taking a leak off the balcony right now. Well, there's nothing we can do.
Okay. Briefly, I just want to touch on American Idol. There's a new twist. Mm-hmm. They are now allowing amateur and professional songwriters. I'm sorry.
He hates football. He has to hate football. There's no way a guy in stiletto boots.
Nah, he's from Minneapolis and he wears purple. He's a huge Vikes fan.
I am resisting the tight end joke and moving forward.
All right, hold on. Let me talk overtly to Brian. If we make too big a deal out of Dave's clever joke, it'll make him think that it's because he hasn't come up with anything else clever in the last 6 months. So reel it in just a little bit.
That actually was not.
You know what, David? What? Is that yours? Did you? You heard that from Sal told
you
that one?
That?
Where'd you hear that one? Did you read that? Was it the Bill Simmons, the sports guys? Did you read that or is that yours?
I won't let it go.
Hold on. Let me cleanse your ears with a different song. I was discussing American Idol. Now, do you remember this? This was Taylor Hicks, and obviously, at the winner sings an original song. Some people say the original songs are a bit lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, I remember, didn't care for this one.
Yeah, I gave it a six. It was fine.
Well, they're now allowing songwriters to compete as well as singers. So this upcoming season, hopefully, the song will be excellent that the winner sings.
Mm.
And at this moment, as we speak, competitors, wannabes, that is, are at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena waiting in line.
Mm-hmm. Big Tad is out there,
yeah,
by the
right.
way. Sorry for stepping on that, but
no.
I knew where you were going.
That's where I was going. Is that him?
I hope it is. Tad?
Sounds like he's eating some of the contestants with the screams.
Tad, what's going on?
You know, just with a few hundred people out here at the Rose Bowl, you know, wanting to try out for American Idol.
When is the actual audition?
that's a damn good question.
He's such an idiot. He's been there for 4 hours.
Anderson
he hasn't asked
Cooper.
Anyone what time they're going in.
Well,
it's scheduled for 8 a.m.
Scheduled for 8 a.m.
I've been getting a lot of stuff out here, and I didn't really figure out what time it was, but it's at 8 a.m. this morning.
Okay.
Everybody goes into the Rose Bowl, and they get to sing their little hearts out. I've got a contestant right here if you want to talk to him. He's from Las Vegas. What's your name, sir?
Joe Weidenbach.
Joe Weidenbach. Hold on.
All right.
Hello.
Hello, Joe.
How's it going?
Good, Joe. So you're going to try out for American Idol?
I certainly am.
And you feel like you have good pipes?
I do, indeed, yeah.
Okay. Now, I know you have a song prepared that you probably want to sing for them, but how about you improvise one about how fat Big Tad is?
About what?
How fat Big Tad is.
Okay. Big Tad is fat. Oh, yeah.
I've never not been disappointed by anything in my life. I know you thought I was going to say by callers or budding talent. I'm now making an umbrella that covers everything. Everything is disappointing. Every single thing is disappointing.
Not one thing has impressed you.
Let's go back to our on-site American Idol judge, Simon Cowell.
In the morning. All right. Mm-hmm. So who's the next? What do I take with Simon?
Hey, Joe. Joe, hand the phone back to Big Tad. And what is Big Tad doing behind you?
He's standing here looking at me, so here we are.
Okay.
What's the game plan, and what are you hoping? Hey, what's going on?
Ted, what else is going on over there that's bringing out all the cheers?
Well, we got Fox 6 News from San Diego right next to me, and that's what was bringing all the cheers. A lot of these people are loving each other because before we went on air, everybody was doing a really cool rendition of Lean On Me.
Ah. Well, tell them to fire it up again. I want to hear it.
Hey guys.
Ted, do not lean on anyone. It will meet with disastrous and tragic results.
Tad's favorite American Idol song, A Donut Like This. Thank you.
See, if only we could get Israel and Hezbollah together.
And sing this.
Mm-hmm. Instead of this ditty. If I made it to the finals, this would be my song.
This would be the best American Idol finale ever.
All right, Dad.
Hey, thank you, brother.
I want you to deliver this message to everybody, though.
Okay, what is it?
If, in fact, they're not chosen, it's not because Simon had anything in it for them personally. It's that they do not possess talent, and they should either quit or kill themselves.
All right.
Because I'm tired of people who go out for auditions and then walk off saying, you know what? This has only empowered me. I'm going to get stronger now. I don't know what that person had against me personally, but I know I'm strong, and I know I'm a talent, and I deserve to go on, and this is not going to slow me down. I think it should slow you down. That's how it should go. It should literally slow you down, just like if you get pulled over a bunch of times for speeding. That should slow you down. If you get a few DUIs, that should slow you down at the bar. When you go out to a few auditions and people who are experts tell you have no talent, that's all meant to slow you down. That's God's big plan, to slow you down so you can get realistic, so you can get a decent job, so you can have a decent life instead of carrying this fantasy into your 40s. Yes?
Yes. Justin Guarini would agree with you.
Huzzah?
Huzzah.
Can I get a huzzah? Hip, hip.
Huzzah.
All right. T?
Yes.
You cool?
Yes. Oh, yes. Sorry, I'm Teresa Strasser. That was the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Exciting news. Floyd Landis is in the house.
Yeah, I just saw him walk in.
Sad news. He's not wearing the yellow jersey. I was hoping he would come in here in it. Pastime quickly, as if they needed the help. The already red-hot Dodger Blue got Jeff Kent back from the DL yesterday, and he sufficiently knocked around the Rockies pitchers to lead the Bums to their 10th straight win. 10 straight. They're just game and a half out of first in the NL West.
12 out of 13.
13 out of 14 coming out of the All-Star break.
And now 10.
10 in a row. How about that? 10 in a row. Nice move yesterday by the Snakes. They picked up decidedly unsnake-like Levon Hernandez. He's more like a hippo, I would say. Mm-hmm. But either way, a nifty pitcher. Junior Circuit. Halos won on the south side of Chicago. First place Athletics put down the Rangers. Mariners gave the business end of the Trident to the Devil Rays.
Mm-hmm.
USA is trying to rebound from their about decades worth of shame in international basketball. They've been laying the pipe to Puerto Rico, and yesterday they whipped up on China, 119-73. No Yao Ming, no Wang Zizi. which is a shame, but I still got to say the names. Now, quickly, let's play before we get to Floyd Landis. Oh, actually, Floyd, as a precursor to this, it's a sort of an appetizer to the main event of his face-to-face with Carolla. Floyd made the rounds on the morning shows yesterday. Here he is talking about what happened, one possible explanation of what happened on, I think, the Today Show.
So are you saying you disagree with the finding, or at least the reporting of the finding, that there is synthetic testosterone present in that sample?
I'm saying that there is multiple reasons why this could have happened. One of them, and I will tell you, that did not happen was that I added it myself.
See?
I like that.
Yeah.
Not going to tell you how it got there. Going to tell you how I didn't put it there.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Seems
morally
reasonable.
Safer on the way, though. Carolla putting on his 60 Minutes hat. And now let's play a brand new game called NFL Draft Pick, because, you know, the NFL is, the time is here.
Mm-hmm.
NFL Draft Pick or Star Wars character. The lines are loaded up. We have many nice gifts to give away. The so-called Frat Boy DVD collection featuring The Bachelor, Tom Hanks' finest work to date, Porky's and PCU. LA listeners can get some Dodger tickets. We have Playboy poker chip set. We have a PowerSafe 1200, the device that saves electricity. The world's your oyster. If only you can answer these questions correctly and identify if it is an NFL draft pick or a Star Wars character.
All right.
Let us begin.
You want to pick up your lightsaber and rub it for good luck?
Let's do it.
There you go.
Need the luck. I'm strong with the Force.
All right. Ryan?
Yes.
You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right.
Here we go. NFL draft pick or Star Wars character. Bib Fortuna.
I'm going to have to go Star Wars character.
Correct. That's Jabba's lackey, the one who has the snake thing around his head.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on.
Omar?
Yes.
Ready to play?
Yes, Obi-Wan is with me.
Alati Nagata. Use the Force.
Draft pick.
Correct. Very nice. Defensive tackle for the bald birdies. All right, let's move on.
Mike?
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
Mon Mothma. Mon Mothma.
Star Wars.
Correct. He's a Rebel Alliance senator. She, I should say. She was in there with the Admiral Akbar, who looks like the big squid.
Well, now I hope we run the table, and that means, of course, Mitch is going to fail.
We're red hot. All right, here we go. Camarion Wimbley.
Camarion Wimbley. Draft pick.
Correct.
Wow.
And Brown's draft pick out of Florida State. Let's see if we can keep the ball rolling.
Doug.
Yep.
Here we go.
All right, this one's for you, Ace. You want this to be a clean sweep?
Mm-hmm.
This one should help us achieve that. Cy Snoodles.
I don't know.
I actually don't know.
You have no guess, Ace?
Well, there's
Cy Snoodles?
There's been five Star Wars movies, right?
Right.
Six yeah, Star Wars movies. Cy Snoodle sounds like a pretty stupid name for a Star Wars character. On the other hand, how many guys in the NFL are named Cy? Cy's a guy who works in the shmarta industry downtown.
Yeah, he's on 7th Avenue selling shmarta.
And how many NFLers have the last name Snoodles? Anyway, with
There's a Fred Smoot.
When you're right, you're right. All right, let's see. It's not for us to decide. Let's let the
Doug,
caller.
How say you? Doug lost interest halfway into Perez Hilton's.
Cy Snoodles.
I'm going to go NFL player.
Oh. I couldn't have been easier, Cy Snoodles.
Evidently it wasn't.
Cy Snoodles and the Max Rebo trio. You know, they sing in Jabba's lair. No?
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
I knew we'd be damned. Because, listen, I hope...
He hasn't put the lightsaber down since you gave it to him.
It's
like a kid on Hanukkah.
Wait to see what he does with it when he gets home. I gotta tell you this. I wish everyone would get everyone wrong. It's just funnier to me. You know, I enjoy that more because it's not me. But after four in a row, I now, and we're only doing five, I want them to run the table. And, of course, we get the last one wrong. Well, what can you do? Four out of five, not bad. Floyd Landis, winner of the Tour de France. In studio, he's in the green room. We'll be getting him, and we'll be talking to him right after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. American Floyd Landis has won the most brutal bicycle race in the world. Riding with an injured hip, the 30-year-old made a dramatic comeback in the French Alps. Landis dropped to 11th place before cruising to victory, saying that he was going to keep fighting to the end. Landis did just that and won the Tour de France with a 57-second lead. He's the third American to win the Tour de France following Lance Armstrong and Greg LeMond, and keeps the Tour title in American hands for the 8th straight year. Now, on the Adam Carolla Show, Floyd Landis.
Good to see you, Floyd.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me here.
Well, our pleasure. We were excited to hear yesterday that you're coming on the show. You big Dave Damashek fan, or what are you doing here, quite honestly?
Yeah. Well, I didn't have too many offers, so I had to come down here.
Well, God bless you.
You are a Man Show fan, though, right?
Yeah, of course. No, I'm a show fan of the show, too, and been wanting to come on here since this happened, not this whole ordeal, but since the tour, and so
really?
I figured I'd come down here anyway if you had me.
Well, we'd definitely have you, and thank you for coming. So before we get to all the steroid controversy, I'm interested in the event itself, because I used to do a little cycling. I one time rode to Santa Barbara.
Really?
Yeah, 90 miles away or so, and it almost killed me. Took 7 or 8 hours, and I when I got there, I put the bike in a crusher, and I said, damn you, and I looked up at the heavens, and my
took
birds
the
flew away.
Home.
Yes, took it home. How many miles is the Tour de France, first off?
Yeah, it's about 2,200, maybe. They do it in kilometers, but I think it's something like 2,200.
And it's covered in how many days?
It's 23 days. There's 2 rest days in the middle, but it's 3 weeks long.
So essentially, it's over 100 miles a day.
Yeah, on average.
And I'm guessing the Alps, the hills, are the toughest part of, or at least for some people, the toughest part?
Yeah, no, those are for sure. Those are the hardest stages, yeah.
Is that where Lance Armstrong would make up a lot of time usually? Is that where he excelled?
Yeah, usually they'd have 2 or 3 mountain stages in the Pyrenees in the south and then 2 or 3 in the Alps. And so either they reverse it each year. Sometimes you start the Alps first, sometimes the Pyrenees. But either way, the mountains are more or less the same. They're hard.
Are the French folks PO'd that American wins every year? I would assume they would be, but yet I don't see too many cases of them, throwing bricks at you when you're riding by. Once in a while, someone gets out there.
No, they got a lot of grief, and people say, the French don't like Americans. To be honest, the years I spent there, I think there's plenty of nice French people. There's a couple that are irritated, but...
Would the average Frenchman be a fan of yours or Lance Armstrong's, for instance?
Yeah, I think so.
They would be.
Yeah.
And what about the team aspect of riding? How many guys? There's 6 guys, 7 guys on a team?
Each team's got 9.
9 guys.
Yeah.
Is that the limit?
Yeah,
is it like any other sport, like baseball? You can't have 7 guys, you can't have 10 guys, you have 9 guys on the team?
Yeah, no, you can. I mean, a lot of teams by the end up with some even 4 or 5. I mean, you don't have to finish with all 9, but yeah, you got to start. I guess you don't even have to start with 9, but I don't know of any cases where you.
And you and Lance rode on the same team for how many years?
I was on his team for 3 years.
And you won, or he won, the team won, he won individually all those 3 years, right?
Yeah, I was with him those 3. The number 4, 5, and 6. The 7th one I wasn't there, but he won.
How does it work? How does the team strategy work in a race like that?
Mostly, I don't know. If you haven't raced a bicycle, it probably sounds a little strange, but it makes a big difference if you're riding behind somebody out of the wind, right? So you're
right
in the draft. And the majority of the time, that's what the team does. They try to keep you out of the wind and keep the leader from having to go back to the car and get food and that kind of thing, water bottles, just whatever. If there's a mechanical problem with the bike, they'll give you their bike if they have to, depending on where the race is.
It's the equivalent of, like, hockey. You have the superstar player, and then you have the goons who protect them. So, yes?
Yeah, something like that.
I was going to say the queen bee. I mean, like, when you were riding, Lance Armstrong was the queen bee. And you guys were, I don't want to say worker drone, but your job was protect the queen bee, ride out front, let him draft you,
yeah,
because it's more tiring for the guy who's cutting the wind,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, more or less. You
I'm
get
a
the
windbreaker
idea.
Myself.
If his bike broke, you would have to give Lance your bicycle.
Yeah, depending on where in the race you were. I mean, there's times in the race where it's not going really fast, and then you have time to go back to car.
And then let's say he got home, and he's back to the hotel, and he's feeling a little amorous. You'd have to give him one of your ladies and give him a, or finish him off yourself.
Yeah, that was basically the... Yeah, yeah, I was the little bitch.
So you're riding in the shadow of Lance Armstrong, who underwent all the controversy with all the steroids and all that kind of stuff himself. Now, I'm not an expert. My casual take on the whole thing is that these folks can't stand us winning constantly, so they put you under the magnifying glass and try to take the victory back.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, not to take anything from Lance, but 7 was a little excessive, I think.
Yeah, it's been long enough.
I mean, we get it, Joe.
You're good. All right,
you made your point. No, I don't know what that has anything to do with it, but...
Now, do they do... You know what I never hear about is I never hear, like, when they do marathons, they have the overall time. I don't know, the record's 2 hours and 6 minutes or whatever the hell it is. Who has the record in the Tour de France? Like, your time this year.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
Equivalent to Lance's?
The only thing you could really do is make the go by the average speed, because every year they completely change all the stages. We go in different directions.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, the whole thing's changed. There's not...
Interesting. So, but you cover the same amount of ground,
yeah,
basically.
Not exactly within 100 miles.
I didn't know they changed the course up every year.
It's completely different. But so you could go by the average speed. I guess this year was the third fastest one. I don't remember exactly. The fastest one was 99 or 2000 or something. Mm-hmm. He's got that record.
And what is his speed? Is it into the 20s?
The average is 25, probably 26 miles an hour or something.
Wow. It's amazing considering all the hill climbing.
Are you small? You're smaller than I expected you to be. I expected a mountain of a man. Are you big? Are you small for a biker?
I'm average and probably on the larger side. I'm growing at this point because I haven't ridden in 2 weeks, but... Yeah, I'm an average cyclist. Huh. I guess we all are the same size, so you can't get a reference, but no, they're fairly small people.
The ideal size for a cyclist would be smallish, right?
Yeah, it doesn't... There's no advantage to being bigger, no.
Not a lot of Samoan guys out there.
Not yet, no.
Calves rubbing each other as they try to pedal. Team Samoan team. All right, so just the afro alone with Slucky, man.
Wind drag.
But if they caught up to you, they'd kick your ass. And your hip. How is your hip doing? Because the thing that's amazing to me is that you're due for some hip surgery. Coming up, you have the Bo Jackson. An injury?
Yeah, I broke it three years ago now when I was on the Postal Service team in the beginning of the one season, and since then it developed. It's called avascular necrosis, and so it's kind of just
necrosis
a
means
disease.
Dying tissue.
Yeah, it's just a degeneration, so it's slowly getting worse. I mean, it's manageable, and in the race, it doesn't affect what I do in the race, but it's arthritis pain, right?
So, do you have to get a hip replacement?
Yeah.
Wow. When is that coming?
Hopefully soon. I need something else to think about at this point. But, yeah, the next couple of weeks, I think.
I'm no doctor, but I know you have to wait for a donor. That much I do know about medicine.
Maybe you can make an announcement here.
Yeah, hopefully some kid will buy it on a moped, and you can get yourself a new hip.
You're actually looking forward to hip surgery because this past week has been so tough.
Yeah, not the pain of the hip is not an issue for that. It's just that I could do something else right now and think about other things.
Has this been the worst 2 weeks of your life? Must be set from the greatest moment of your life to
yeah know. Yeah, that was what made it the worst. It was that it was so good for 2 days there, and then it was a complete disaster.
Well,
since.
Floyd, how does the testing go? Do they test you all throughout the actual race?
Yeah, I was tested 8 times, so 5 times before this incident and 2 times after. And then also on top of that, I had 3 blood tests. The first test I was referring to are urine tests, and then 3 other blood tests.
Do they test every rider every stage or every at the same point in the race? Or
no,
do they do it randomly?
They do each day. They do one random, and out of the 21 stages, I was a random twice, which I find a little bit strange. Because there's 190 guys in the race.
Right.
On top of that, they test the leaders of each competition. So there's 5 jerseys, a sprinter's jersey, this, you know, the green and polka dot jersey, that kind of thing. So all those guys are tested every day. And then
I see.
And then the winner of each individual stage. So there's 6 people tested each day.
Right. It makes sense. You don't have to test the guy who's dragging along behind in 195th place.
Yeah.
If he's on the juice, he should do more of it. Yeah. So, okay. Wow. So... I I'm fascinated by all this stuff. So you get tested all along the way, and it comes up negative, and then on the fifth test, you come up positive for not for steroids, but for
testosterone.
And that, yeah, I haven't made much of a big scene about that, but because I don't know if that's a defense or not. But it sounds awfully strange to me that anybody with any sense would start taking drugs in the middle of the race, knowing they're going to get tested on top of that.
Well, what percentage of guys do you think are on something out there? I mean, I just don't know if the American public or even the world knows what to think. Is everybody on it? And therefore, hey, if everyone's doing it, then so be it. Or have they cleaned it up? I mean, you've been in the sport for a long time. Can you tell? Do you know?
The thing with that is if somebody is doing it, they're not going to be announcing it to everyone else. So I have a hard time putting a number on it, but I'm sure there's people doing stuff. I mean, it's not, yeah.
And do people look at the system as so good that you couldn't try to beat it, or are they always attempting to find a new angle to beat the system that's in place?
I think there's probably always somebody that thinks they can beat it.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, in my case, knowing that I had the lead in the race and knowing I'm going to be tested every day, I contend that you'd have to be out of your mind to attempt to beat it starting in the middle of the race.
I was speaking to a doctor friend of mine who said that the testosterone that you tested positive for wouldn't even help you in this situation.
Well, that's another thing I've been trying to get some information on, because to be fair, I'm not really an expert on that, but it seems to me that it's a hormone that would take some amount of time to work. It wouldn't be like some kind of amphetamines or crack or something like that.
Right. Right. All right. And also, by the way, you got a bum hip. So to me, whether you're on the juice or not, it's neither here nor there. You've been hobbled
maybe,
by your
maybe
hip.
Maybe you can talk to him about that.
I will.
Can I ask you, how did you find out you're riding this high from this amazing comeback? How did you get the news that you had this positive test?
They sent the Federation sent a fax to the team management. So then they gave me a call. I was at a hotel in Holland. I was doing a bike race there. And yeah,
you're doing a bike race?
Yeah.
After the Tour de France?
Yeah, Tuesday night I did one, and then Wednesday night I was going to do another one, so I was waiting.
Jesus, you are high. He knew when they took away that stuffed animal that there was trouble. What is that stupid stuffed tiger or whatever the hell they give you when you're standing up there on the podium?
I'll tell you what, they can have that thing back. I'd like to keep the jersey, but that they can keep.
I know, you're right. You win the most prestigious bike race in the world. You just covered 2,000 miles on a bicycle, and they hand you 15 cents worth of carnival prize.
Here's a lion.
Here's a stuffed lion.
You could have, like, thrown a dime in a dish and won that.
I know.
Next time, that's what I'm going to do, I'll tell you what.
All right. But there are some hotties flanking you up there.
Yeah,
I got to say that.
I got that part. But the stuffed animal, that's useless.
We need to take ourselves a break. Floyd Landis is here. He's going to hang with us. More tough softball questions after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Tori Spelling. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
We want to talk about range. We have Tori Spelling and now Floyd Landis. The people's champion of the Tour de France. Is cycling in Europe sort of what soccer is? I know motorcycles are big over there. Cycling is pretty big as well, correct? Much bigger than it is here?
Yeah, they like their, they call it football, soccer, Formula One racing. But yeah, bicycle racing's
pretty big.
It's a big deal, yeah.
And the Tour de France has been around for 100 years or something?
Yeah, something like that, 103 years. The only years they've missed were during the World Wars, as far as I know. Otherwise,
pussies.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have ridden my bike through a Panzer division or two. That's the thing. You got to show them it's not affecting your life. That's the whole thing. That's psychological. You may bomb us. You may take us over. You may burn our cities to ground. But you know what? I keep my head held high, and I keep riding my bicycle.
Now, Floyd, there have been so many since this first came up a couple weeks ago. It's, you know, it seems like it's all you, you know, coming up with these various things. I drank whiskey the night before.
Well, to be fair, I did drink whiskey, but that wasn't me making the connection.
It's all your people that keep floating all these ideas, yes?
Some of my people and some of people who used to be my people. How's that?
Some people have been let go.
Well, I think everyone was just grasping at straws, trying to figure out what was going on here because it didn't make any sense, right? So we just thought we'd tell them everything that happened and maybe something will add up.
Well,
and,
to continue with my softball style of interviewing people, I want you to know that if somebody said to me, how did we find whatever in your blood, and I didn't put it in my blood, then I would tell them, I don't know. I ate a muffin. I did this. I did that. I slammed some heroin. I had a speedball. I don't know how it got in. So the idea that you don't have an excuse really is a good excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're the first guy to put that together. I don't know what the problem is with the rest of these guys.
Yeah, well, I think it's coming off as that you're grasping for straws when the reality is you don't know how you came up positive, so you're telling what you know.
I stopped doing that now. Now I'm saying I don't know, and I'll give you other ways that it could have gotten in my urine without going through me. I got a couple ideas about that. But
interesting. How did that work? How could that work?
Well,
think
about this test procedure. After I give them the sample, I don't know what happens to it.
Mm.
And this lab has a history. I mean, they did the same thing to Lance. They tried to manipulate his B samples. For some reason, they kept the B samples for 10 years there from all the previous tours, and then they tested them. They claimed they tested them and claimed they found some things. That all went away, but it's the same people there.
Yeah, I guess what you're saying is if you are testing something and looking for something, not just saying, is this positive or is this negative, but I'm really hoping I have this result, then you'll somehow find it oftentimes.
Well, I don't know that that's what I mean, but what I do mean is...
Yes.
There's a couple...
Definitely what you mean.
I mean, that sounds good, too, but think of the possible motivations if the lab knew whose urine sample it was. I mean, even something so pathetic as a lab technician who's pissed off and betting on second place and knows he can win the bet.
So you're saying, and also, what about the theories of taking it topically, creams and things like that?
Yeah, well, again, there's multiple ways, from what I'm told, that you could get this result.
Mm-hmm. So,
including that or something else, but yeah.
You're saying maybe the lab, I mean, you're not disputing that the lab came up with a positive test, but what you're saying is you did not knowingly ingest anything.
Well, that's another thing. I've been arguing in the press these results of this A sample for a week. Until Wednesday last week, I didn't even have the full results of what they're trying to show me. And until this point now, I still don't have the results of the B sample. So
as far as I know,
it's not even positive, but that's what they say. So we'll go with that for now.
Well, I think we have a clip of Lance on Larry King defending you. Do we have that? Let's see what he has to say.
You know, without knowing the specifics of this case... And just sticking to the facts that I know is what I know about Floyd. And we spent 3 years together on the same team, obviously, you know, spending massive amounts of time training and racing together. If we ever suspected anything, if there was suspicious behavior or anything to lead us to believe he was a cheater, then we would have parted ways long before we did.
How big a high five did you give him when he first told you he was nailing Sheryl Crow? Huge?
I'd send him another yellow jersey, but he's already got 7.
What do you guys do? Do you talk about women or you just talk about riding when you're not riding?
Hey, man, it's 9 guys hanging out 24 hours a day for 3 weeks.
Oh,
we talk about riding. We got problems.
Yeah. So that was Lance. Greg LeMond, I guess, had some tough things to say about you. I don't know if we have that. Do we have that?
I still really feel bad for his family. Floyd is going to have to go through a difficult period here, and I hope that he could actually have the courage to come forward and help the sport right now.
Mm.
Sounds like he convicted me.
Yeah, no. What
about
that?
What's wrong with Lamont? He's after Lance Armstrong too.
I don't know, but he says it's going to be a hard time for my family, and that's no real revelation, I don't think.
Greg LeMond won how many times? A couple,
he
two,
won three?
Three.
Yeah,
three. All right.
Somebody shot at him in the middle there, but.
Really?
That's right.
Yeah,
I got shot.
Really?
Well, they're big fans, the French.
They love us.
Yeah, I guess if you're Greg, you're thinking I could be the greatest American cyclist of all time had it not been for these other guys to come around and win the Tour de France. So therefore, I'll try to taint their victory by floating these allegations. Yes?
Yeah, that's as good an explanation as any because I don't personally know the guy. So,
how about your future? Do you retire? Do you continue? How old can you ride competitively up to?
generally people don't win the tour after 35. Lance was 34, I guess, the last one he won. Mm.
How old are you now?
I'm 30.
30. Yeah. So a few more years, but you have to get the surgery.
Yeah, and I got to get through this other ordeal, too, because if this goes on and they find me guilty, then I'm out for 4 years, so I'm probably done. Then I'll find something else to do.
And what do you do? Just ride a generator all day?
Or yeah, like, probably, yeah.
wait a minute. I got it. Oh. You work as a bike messenger in New York City. And they do that thing, too, where it's, who is that? That's Floyd Landis, man.
That's why I came in here, man. I knew you'd have some good ideas for me.
But you started hitting the bottle, and that was a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Long time ago. But you're still the best on the bike. And now he's seen wearing the tattered yellow jersey.
Still wears the tattered yellow jersey.
But what happens? Team USA goes down in a plane crash. And it's time to race the Soviets on their turf. I'm going back to the 80s. I'm on a roll here, Floyd.
It wouldn't be the same without that music in the background.
You get into it and you realize, I can't do it. By this time, you're morbidly obese. You're bearded. You're a shattered shell of your former self. But we have a training montage. And it's you cycling in the rain at night. Up a hill that never ends.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
You see him throwing away the donuts and drinking a smoothie?
That's right. There's a woman who loves you, but she didn't hook up with a quitter. And there's trouble. Oh, my God. This is huge. This is going to be great. All right, there. Done.
Problem solved.
That's going to be easy.
Floyd Landis here, by the way. What happens if they find, or they did find, what happens? Is it like the Miss USA competition? Does the runner-up get the stuffed animal in the yellow jersey, or how does that work? Do you have the yellow jersey right now?
Yeah, I have a couple of them. I get one each day. So.
Why do you wear it every day?
Well, yeah.
Well, it's a little
there's a couple
weird
reasons
now.
So, do you get stripped of your yellow jersey? Does the guy who came in second, and who is the guy who came in second?
This guy named Oscar Pereiro. He used to be a teammate of mine last year. I got nothing against him.
Benedict Arnold.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got to factor into our story.
Wait, keep in mind here, this is a guy that I led to have 30 minutes one day when I was a leader back in the beginning of the race.
Really?
Yeah, so I think he owes me one at least, so.
So is he an American?
No, he's a Spanish guy.
So Spain would get the title at this point?
Something like that. First it has to go through a bunch of appeals and stuff. I don't know at what point they decide to make some kind of ceremony, but.
So what about, let me take a question for Floyd. David?
Yes.
You have a question for Floyd Landis?
Yeah, first of all, I'm behind him 100%, but after he won the Tour de France, did he have a lot of endorsements, and when he tested positive, did he lose those endorsements?
Yes and yes.
Who were your endorsement deals with?
I shouldn't really say, but I was hoping to get Jack Daniels. That's what I really
was
going to
say Jack Daniels really should sponsor you, since that's the whiskey you were drinking.
And, I mean, what better endorsement can you have? I won the race.
Booze of champions, yes.
Good point.
So, were you riding for, let's see, Lance was, it was for the U.S. Postal Team, and then it was the Discovery
I left a year to change the Discovery, so when I was there, it was Postal Service, yeah.
And, so, trouble with the sponsors?
I've been fired by my team now because according to the rules, they had to do it, so.
Why do they, isn't there some process that you need to undergo before they then find you guilty and fire you?
No, I think anyone that's watching sees what the pattern is here in this sport, is the athlete gets no rights whatsoever. I mean, the team's forced to fire me, otherwise they lose their team, so.
How much money can you make, or do you make, when you win the Tour de France?
If you're an American, you'd probably do better than if you're French, but.
Really?
I assume in the rest of this year would have made $5 or $6 million in endorsements.
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah.
And you've lost all of them.
Well, I had just for winning, the bonus that I had from the team was $1.5 million. And that's gone.
That's the bonus from the team. Okay. Yeah. But what about the actual, and by the way, thank you for your candor. I can't stand it when people won't tell, it's plenty. But I can never figure out what it is. Okay. So now we have some numbers. If the race itself, though, like, I can't figure it out because there's certain things, like if you win a golf tournament, you might win $100,000 or $500,000. Is there a large monetary gift, or you just get the stupid stuffed tiger?
Well, that's the main thing that you really want, but the money, there is a prize money, but usually it gets split with, usually the leader team lets the rest of the team split it, so... We would have. I think we had somewhere around $600,000. That's what we would have gotten.
$600,000 is what you physically get for winning
from
the Tour de France
organization.
And then there's endorsements, and then there's your sponsors and all that kind of stuff. All right, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. Floyd Lannis is going to hang out with us. Yes,
absolutely.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with more of your calls, more questions, and more softballs after that.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. 2 weeks ago, Floyd Landis was cycling's newest star, hailed by the Tour de France as a leader for a new generation. In the past few days, his tour triumph continued to slide, both familiar and troubling to U.S. athletic officials, an achievement tainted by suspicious levels of testosterone. If stripped of the title, Floyd Landis would become the first winner in the 103-year history of cycling's premier race to lose his tour crown because of the allegations of illegal substances. More with Floyd Landis right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Thank you.
That was a pick-me-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill myself.
Me too. Save me a bullet.
So Floyd could possibly lose millions of dollars in endorsements unless we can get some producers of bourbon to step up and start supporting
Jack
him.
Jack Daniels, drink it and still win.
Yes. Go ahead and give him my number.
Floyd, what else do you do outside of cycling?
Well, I got a family, I got a wife and a daughter. That takes some of my time. But until now, the last 15 years have been focused completely on that.
How does the journey begin? Like, how do you even find out, hey, I'm good at this, I want to pursue it, I want to go to the next level with it?
Yeah, I don't know. I grew up in Pennsylvania, and a friend of mine and I got some mountain bikes just to go fishing down the river. And ended up fishing wasn't all that much fun anyway. You catch fish, you got to deal with the fish. So we just rode our bikes.
Right.
And then, you know, it's addicting. I don't know. Anybody that does it knows that in the beginning, maybe it doesn't, you know, it catches on slowly. But once you do it a while, it's addicting.
And did you have a paper route?
No, I didn't.
Seems like all guys would start with a paper route.
It was more just to get around and get to my friend's house and stuff like that.
And when you're training for, like, the Tour de France, how many miles are you covering in a day, or how many hours are you in the saddle, so to speak?
Yeah, I would ride between 20 and 30 hours a week. So on an average year, I'd do 20,000 miles probably.
Wow. So more than most folks put on their car.
Yeah, for sure.
And when did they... It seems like this is a no-brainer, but the seat that has the toaster slot in it so that the sack can catch a little wind instead of you sitting on your sack for 120 miles. When did this come along, and how long? Why did it take so long? You know what I mean? Like, guys sat on their nut sack for 150 years before somebody said, perhaps we should just go ahead and put a little slot there so guys have to sit on it.
I don't know why.
That could have happened to Lance. Imagine that. I mean, Dave's sitting on his right now, but that's 4 hours a day. He's not spending 10 hours a day, and he's not moving, except for flapping his jaw. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know what the issue was there. I don't know why I didn't think of it. But
Do you have the one with the butt crack in it?
Yeah, definitely.
Better, huh?
For sure.
Yeah, why don't we get caught in the spokes? I'd have to work out some sort of rigging system. I'm not young anymore. That's all I'm saying. And I ride in the nude. That's the way I roll. That's the only time I feel free. So when I'm
riding, that's how I roll.
In the nude, I actually put a reflector on it because I do some night riding. Those seats with the crack down the middle of them, which are like 8 or 10 years old, are the greatest breakthrough in all sports. All of sports, and must be a night and day difference, yes?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely the best thing anyone's thought of in a long time.
It's lighter. You can finally breathe. Let's see. Let me talk to caller Tim. Tim?
Yeah.
You have a question. You're a technician
Yeah, I am. Yeah, in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Floyd, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. You know, singular, huge achievement. But I'm trying to get at your state of mind there going into that stage. You balked big time going into that stage. It was kind of an act. It's consistent to an act of desperation to do something like that. I mean, were you really desperate at the time? What were you thinking going into that stage?
So you began the 17th stage in 11th place.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Thanks for for calling, Tim. Listen, as far as pointing at circumstantial evidence as to do something absurd like that, I can tell you that I've done five races before the tour, and I'd won three of them already, and I'd had the lead in the tour, and so you can call it desperation, but even if I stopped the tour right then, I'd have made more than $2 million racing my bicycle the following year, so that's absurd to think that I'm going to just be desperate. That's...
Well, also, as I stated earlier, according to my doctor friend, Dr. Bruce, whatever you did wouldn't help you that day or even that week either, or at least what they found in your system. So it's not, again, a desperate act to help yourself because it wouldn't kick in until you were... I got off the plane in the United States, right?
Yeah, precisely.
I like this attitude of yours, though. Anybody who challenges you, you get angry about it. This is the stance of a man who feels like he's innocent. Like, you know, OJ, he gets in a white Bronco and flees the country.
Well, I don't have a Bronco, but...
But you've faced the music. I mean, you've shown up on every place that's asked you, including here.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I told people before, I didn't want to fight this thing in the media, but I didn't start that part, so bring it on now.
Well, right. So what is your explanation? You say there's some agenda, and it's cloaked in mystery what that agenda is. But what do you say?
Well, by their own admission, the president of UCI said that he leaked this information because he knew that someone else would leak it. And I'm telling you, this is a fatal flaw in the system of testing. If a lab knows which urine belongs to who, you cannot have that. It's not objective at that point.
Mm-hmm. All right. So by your estimation, you have nothing to do with this. You're completely innocent.
Yes,
and
correct.
You would swear on a stack of Bibles.
Sure.
You would take a lie detector test.
Sure.
You would.
Not right here on the radio? Do you have one?
Actually. I don't think it's funny, but punch Brusca for this, by the way, although I think it's fine producing. We do have a guy named John Grogan who runs from affordablepolygraph.com who is ready to hook you up and clear this up.
He says so? I better give my lawyer a call first, because on that kind of issue, I'm getting afraid. I don't know what could come of that.
I understand. You want to sort it out. You want to think about it. But here's the deal. People are assuming you're guilty. And this is a way to clear your name. It's not a way to find you guilty. I think a lot of people are already assuming that. This is a way to clear your good name. And if, in fact, in your mind... Now, here's the way I look at the polygraph. If something was in your blood, something was in your blood. But the question is did you put it there? And if you know in your mind and in your heart that you ingested nothing willingly, then you will pass the test. And in my mind and in the minds of many people listening, will be cleared.
Sure, that sounds fair enough.
Yeah, let's do
again,
it. Then.
Again,
call my lawyer. I'll give you his number.
Let's do it right now.
You want to call the lawyer?
Call him, he'll clear it, no doubt, and we'll...
Well,
start hooking him up in the meantime.
Yeah. No, the reason I got defensive on that is because, he asked me not to do anything that could be somehow used against
careful.
Me, and
yeah.
I don't know what could come of that.
No,
this whole process is new to me.
I understand it. It feels as if you've been blindsided only because you were.
Well, and then some of the things I said in the beginning already been used against me, so I'm afraid now.
Right, but... This would be awesome because you came on to the Adam Carolla Show. You passed a legitimate polygraph test that said, I did not knowingly ingest these drugs. Now, I'm not going to ask you questions about life on the road.
Not with your beautiful wife
Lance
in the
Armstrong
green room.
And,
no, I wouldn't do it
what
again.
It was like being the toast of Europe, single and cycling. Oh, yeah. He had to put a banana seat on that 10-speed to accommodate all the hookers.
Oh, here comes the lie detector guy. We've worked with him before. He's a very nice man with a good reputation.
I know him as Mr. Personality. He's the Ben Vereen.
He's dynamic.
Of lie detector tests. Yeah.
But he does teach LAPD lie detector technology, etc.
He's a real chatty Cathy. John?
How are you?
Good to see you, John. Please reel it in just a little bit. It's early. John Grogan, you're from affordablepolygraph.com. We had you in here before when you were testing our Billy the Webmaster. You look good. You look like you've lost a couple pounds.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, you have your polygraph test with you?
We do.
And how accurate is this?
98%.
98%. And I guess what we're worried about, what Floyd is worried about, is something getting mixed up, screwed up, or jumbled up. Can you assure us that that wouldn't happen?
All the questioning will be designed to prevent that from happening.
What questions would you ask? Do you have those? Do you know what you would ask?
Yes, we would ask him, did you knowingly take any illegal substances during the Tour de France?
And that is... That needs to be the only question, right?
That's
Do we
it.
Need more than that?
One question, right?
One question.
Unless Floyd would like to add anything.
No, I will say that I got to be careful with tests that are 98% accurate, because this drug test already is called more than 98% accurate, and we've already got issues. So,
well,
we can do it a couple of times.
You gotta look at it.
Is that how it goes?
Well, you gotta look at it. Here's the way I look at that. I look at this as win-win, not for you, but for myself and the rest of the staff.
Yeah,
no,
of course.
Here's the way I look at it. If the worst case, first off, if you didn't knowingly ingest anything, then you're cool. If you did and you fail the test, then I'm just some J.O. morning show jock that delivered a test from a very gregarious guy. And it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't hold up in court. Doesn't neither here nor there. People aren't going to know about it. But yet, if you do pass the polygraph test, now that's a feather
court
in your
cap. Court of public
opinion.
It's a win-win. You'll be
that's
a winner.
That's right.
Man, I'm telling you, that's going to get used against me. I tell you what, I'll make a deal with you.
Hmm.
I will speak with my lawyer, and if he says that it's a good idea, if I ever take a polygraph test, it'll be in here. How's that?
Well, does any lawyer ever say it's a good idea? And if why not? If in fact, again, the polygraph test, it does not, to me, the polygraph test is like video surveillance film. If you weren't in the liquor store and you weren't shooting the Korean guy behind the counter, then you want them to look at it. You want the test. I mean, you should want it.
He initially did say your first reaction was that you wanted to take the test.
Agreed. I think, in my opinion, it seems like a good idea.
And again,
I don't know what a lawyer's advice would be, but
How about this? How about we hook you up and we find out if you really wanted to take the test?
Yes, that's a good start.
Because if we asked him if he's going to talk to his lawyer and if we'll ever see him again, that's the answer.
Oh, that's going to be a disaster. You don't want to call the lawyer.
Yeah.
He's gonna make Floyd leave immediately.
He's the man.
I don't.
Yes.
I don't know if he can be able to get a hold of him or not. But he can try.
All right, give him
a
try.
He'll give me the number.
He just gave him a 6-digit number.
No, it's gonna be in my phone.
Give me the number, bike boy.
Listen, Floyd. I know. This is horrible. You must feel horrible. But I my feeling was I'm gonna kick Floyd's tires. And if I think Floyd is innocent and Floyd thinks he's innocent, then this is a way to exonerate him in the court of public opinion. Again, how could it go wrong if you never did it?
Wait, let's back up a second. Let's put this all in perspective again. The things that have happened until this point and where I've tried to think I would do something that would exonerate me, and it's gotten me into all kinds of problems.
Words, not data,
but
though.
But he has been scarred. I see where he's coming
from. Man,
I understand you're wounded, you're shocked, and you're confused, but I'm telling you, John.
I'm here.
All right. John is not your foe. He's your friend.
I see that, and I don't doubt that.
He can clear up this whole mess.
I believe him.
I believe him, too, except for...
I believe the French are after him and after us. I really
well, but
him.
I got to say, now, Floyd, now that you don't want to take the test, I don't believe
Adam, what was your sense before that?
I definitely believed... I believed Floyd.
Same.
But... Again, like I said, I know there's attorneys, and I know you've been burned before. But if you didn't do it, then you should be eager to take the test and clear your name.
Ordinarily, if I'm just sitting here and that's the argument, then correct, I agree. But right now, it goes into a legal process where anything I say and do here that I'm not 100% sure is going to be.
Well, the good news is John drives a beer truck, and he got the polygraph test off eBay. So he just got the machine
well,
there. So he's really, it's not going to hold up in the court. John, that's all I'm saying.
John, it just, if this helps, he has exonerated a 17-year-old webmaster from being a virgin.
Yes, we accused our webmaster being a virgin. He said he wasn't. And John, what were the results?
He was not a virgin.
How dare you, sir?
I'm explicit. Tell the truth, and we cleared
he
Billy's
cleared his name.
Anyway, Floyd's wife is trying to get in touch with Floyd's all lawyer, right. So.
John, have you ever done, you know, if this whole polygraph thing doesn't work out, wedding DJ? Huh? There's a gig for you. Hey, everybody. Raise a toast to the beautiful bride and groom. Today is a special day. A wise man once said that the ring, the spherical ring, symbolically. Okay. John never gets tired of us making fun of him. Although he will be waiting by my car. John lets his fists do the talking. Whereas Lloyd lets his legs do the talking. And I actually, one of the guys who lets my mouth do the talking. I'm very rare breed. All right, well, let's take a break. Floyd, are you cool?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
You're not angry at Bresca?
Nah, come on. You going to beat me up?
All right. Well,
I'm doing this because I do believe you, and I want to clear your name and tell everybody. No, I really truthfully believe you.
And I feel kind of bad that I have to say no, but I'm being careful, that's all. Talk to the guy in charge for now when it comes to legal stuff. All
right. Well, you're not definitely saying no. We're going to call your lawyer during the break, right?
All right.
Is that where we left
we'll
it?
See, if we can,
see what his advice
we'll see
is.
If we can get him on the phone.
All right.
I have a suspicion what Floyd Landis's lawyer will say, but all right.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
That's legal jargon. You wouldn't understand.
John, any last words before we throw it to break?
It's a truth detector.
Don't get hysterical.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Adam. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Bo Weiss. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Floyd Landis in studio. 06 Tour de France champion. Also, John Grogan from Affordable. Polygraph.com. The Ben Vereen of Polygraph, guys. Yes, John?
We're ready.
Always ready.
Bouncing off the walls.
Do you have kids, John?
Yes.
Must have been fantastic, all those milestone achievements. They graduate high school. I'm happy for you, honey. Home run in Little League. That's my boy.
Daddy, I'm getting married.
John.
Fantastic.
Pretend Therese is your daughter and she tells you the big news.
Guess what? I got into law school.
Good work.
You're pregnant.
Dad, I have to tell you something. I don't want you to be disappointed in me, but I'm pregnant.
Go away.
Dad, this is your son. I knew. I'm gay.
You told me last year.
Well, I'm gayer. I want to give you an update. I've become a bottom. I've become a prison bottom.
Dad, I borrowed your car, and I totaled it.
Thank you.
I graduated at the top of my class.
Good work.
Dad, I won the lottery, and I'm sharing all of it with you.
Good work.
I've been drafted by the Mariners in the first round.
Good work.
Oh, talk about eating disorders.
Floyd Landis from the Tour de France.
Good work.
That's John Grogan. All right, where were we? Yes, Floyd Landis. So we called Floyd's attorney during the intermission, and he said not to take the polygraph test. And I understand you're overwhelmed, poor Lloyd's wife is freaking out, but I got to tell you,
Floyd, less fun, yes, though.
Well, I decided something when I was urinating, because that's where I do my best thinking. Not sitting down. A lot of guys do their thinking sitting down, you know, number two. I do mine during number one. You know what I mean? Like to keep it real. I decided that I should take the polygraph test because I was thinking to myself, I can't decide. I thought, you know, I like Floyd. I was rooting for Floyd. I have a sort of philosophical approach to these things, which is whatever you did, and if you did it or not, winning the Tour de France is still an achievement in my mind. I mean, whether you're Mark McGwire, whether Barry Bonds, or whoever you are, whether you did what you did or you didn't do what you didn't do, hitting 60-something home runs or winning the Tour de France, whether you put some cream on you that had some, you know, essence of goat in it, fine. You still won, and I still think it's an accomplishment. And secondly, I think most of the guys behind you, I just assume would be on whatever you were on if you were on it anyway. So either way, I'll tip my hat to you. But I thought, I wonder what I think. Like, do I think he's guilty?
Yeah, what do you not? Think?
Well, I thought no, but then he wouldn't take the lie detector test. And I thought, well, maybe. And then I thought, well, I understand the whole thing with the lawyer and all that kind of stuff. And then I thought, I don't know. So, John, if I took the test and you asked me if I thought Floyd did it or not, and I was ambivalent, how would it work?
It would work fine.
Because it's a truth detector.
I was just hoping he was going to say good job.
Me too.
Okay, so we can take a break and hook me up. Because here's the thing. I want to know what I'm thinking. I know it sounds weird, but I do feel torn. I feel like, you know, there are cases that go this way. I mean, oh, you brought up OJ. OJ, I thought he was guilty, obviously. But then there's other cases. You watch these 48 hours and stuff. He's a doctor. They found his wife dead. She had an insulin syringe by. But then you hear the other side of it, and you just don't know. I want to know what I don't know. John, can you help me?
I can.
Okay.
I'd like to
get some one-on-one time with you anyway. Find out what you think about the whole Middle East thing and all the other topics of the day.
American Idol.
Floyd.
How to raise a successful child.
I wish you well, Floyd Landis.
Thank you guys very much.
I do appreciate you coming on. I know we put you on the spot. I would
like to see you take a test, because I, to be fair, never actually seen somebody take a lie to take a test.
Maybe you'll feel more comfortable after seeing Adam take the test.
Interesting. I could get nervous and just soak myself with urine, though.
I got some questions for Adam, too.
Me too.
Do you like producer Brusca?
I thought about all these things as I was urinating and thought, oh, there's going to be a lot of lap dance-related questions and a lot about what I think of Dave's sportscast. I'm not going down that road. I talked to my attorney.
Mahal?
Actually, Floyd and I are represented by the same firm. And that's why I'm only going to answer the question about Floyd and whether I think he's innocent or guilty. All right? So we'll do that. Floyd, again, thank you for coming on.
Man, thank you guys very much.
We appreciate it. And we'll keep our fingers crossed for you.
Thank you.
And your endorsements and your career. So we'll be back with the results of whether I think the next best thing to putting Floyd on there. And we'll be back after this. Oh, has it ever come
down to 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. In just 2 days, the Deaf Frat Guy is throwing a rush party at Hooters on Hollywood and Highland. If you want to be in the first pledge class for Delta Fu Gamma, then you gotta show up and bring your liver.
Beer pong and beer bong.
Show up to win Fox's Frat Boy Collection box set with Bachelor Party, PCU, and Porky's this Thursday, 7 p.m. at Hooters on Hollywood and Highland. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, well, Floyd has fled. You know, it's funny, I feel bad for the guy who lost endorsements, the biggest cycling race, one of the biggest events in Europe, and possibly having it stripped away from him. Then his wife came in and started yelling at him, and my heart really went out to him, because that's something I can identify with.
Well, she's had a tough week.
Absolutely.
And she's just doing what any wife would do and trying to be protective of her husband.
That's right.
But he had a tough week, too, and she should be a little bit easier on him.
Oh, yes. She's trying to look
she
out for him.
She should be making a panini. Why she have shoes on and out of the kitchen?
She's a very sweet woman.
I don't hear any pots and pans rattling.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian. Breska's a tough customer because as soon as Floyd walked out, he's like, I don't know. Now that he wouldn't take the lie detector, I don't know what to think. I don't believe the guy.
Now that he's out of the room, I thought he was going to beat me up. I definitely do not believe him now.
Really, Breska. I believe him 100%.
If he was telling the truth, he would have said, let's do it. That's a great idea.
But he was so matter-of-fact about it.
No, but did you look at him? His facial expression, he started getting nervous and sweating, and so did I because I thought he was going to beat me up. But he started getting nervous, and just you can tell things by body language.
Well, I understand. Understand that's why I'm hooked up to
Adam
the polygraph right
up.
Now because I would like to know what I think.
You really don't know what you think.
No, because you know to lay it out. Why would a guy risk that at the stage of the race he was in? He seems like one of these guys that's not really capable of lying effectively.
That's how I felt.
He seems like a very simple, very nice, very honest guy.
Yeah. Breska's capable of lying, though. He lied right to Floyd Landis' face when he said, I honestly believe you. I don't think you did it.
Originally, I did believe him. I don't believe him now.
I want to believe him.
Right. He's an American, and I was proud of him. He came one of the best comebacks in sports history. I want to believe him, but I don't.
I do. I swear to you, the whatever enhancement you get from whatever you put on. To me, I don't care if they found a metric ton of it in his body. It's still an achievement. It's tainted, but it's still an achievement for me. Now, I thought he was telling the truth. Then when he wouldn't take the lie detector, I thought he was lying because why wouldn't you? On the other hand, I do feel like Floyd is a simple... am I lying now, by the way? I feel like he's... you know, these guys are not... It's not Lindsay Lohan growing up with a showbiz mom. This is a guy who sat here and told us he got into it because he was going down to the creek and riding a mountain bike in Pennsylvania 15 years ago.
Yeah, in a Mennonite community, by the way. He grew up Mennonite.
That, for those who don't know that religion by the wacky facial hair, those are the guys that don't have a mustache but have a full beard. It's a great look.
Clears it up.
That's how it's to me. There's crazy facial hair that goes along with every, you know, the Hasidims have the full Dan Haggerty beard, and the Mennonites have the beard with no, they have that Abe Lincoln
look.
What
is Tad?
Fat Tad's a Mennonite.
He's a Tardanite. Yes. All right, so here's my point. Then I realize he's a simple guy. And I don't mean stupid, but he's not a Hollywood type. He's an athlete. He spends 9 hours a day on a bicycle. He doesn't have a publicist and deals with press conferences. And I looked at him, and he looked totally overwhelmed by what has gone on over the last few weeks and then realized, I just don't want to say anything because I'm scared I might get burned again.
He's been screwed by the man already.
Yes, I'm very torn.
As I said, I thought it was telling his reaction to the caller who sort of was accusatory that he was that he became abrasive immediately. Like, that's absurd. You know, he got angry. This makes sense for an innocent man that you would get agitated by anyone who accuses you.
I wish he was that adamant when we asked him to take the lie detector.
Well,
bring it on.
And I did say, would you take a lie detector test because I'm clever? Before, and he said, yes, I would. Oh, yeah, I would take it. And then we pulled it out.
Oh, when you said that, I was my heart was starting to race because I knew what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so bad that we were springing it on him.
It's a horrible job. All right, John.
I'm here.
John is, he is seen and not heard, but he is the best, or so we hear. We've talked to police officers that said that John has trained them, John Grogan from affordablepolygraph.com. I am hooked up to his device. Wait a minute, I'm being adjusted by his lovely wife.
How do you feel just being hooked up to it?
You want a trash can to throw up into?
Oh,
are you okay?
Wow.
Lisa put a puss on when I said wife that suggested that she's not as attracted to John as John is to her.
I think she's next on the polygraph to get real thoughts on John.
It's on her face.
Yeah. You guys drive together? You drive in here together? Yeah.
He tries to cop a feel.
I can only imagine the scintillating conversation that must take place on the road. All right, so John, again, he's not an auctioneer. He works, I think this thing just popped on me. I am a solid C cup now. I'm sorry, sweetie. you have the thing adjusted for B. Okay, so we are going to try to find out. Debbie's angry that we did that to Floyd. Let me talk to her for 1 second. Debbie?
Yes?
Your personal trainer?
I am.
All right, so we don't have to listen to anything you say. But you are hot.
Adam's on the phone.
You don't like that we ambushed Floyd Landis.
No, I don't. I think it was cruel. I mean, the guy has... He can't believe anybody that talks to him anymore. I mean, the testing is... Either he did it, and he doesn't have a good excuse, which I think is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He would have a better excuse, like you guys said.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do it. Mm-hmm. The tests keep coming back positive.
Mm-hmm.
You guys bring him in,
mm-hmm.
and you talk nice to him. You soft pedal it for a while.
Mm-hmm. We did do that.
Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got him.
I like soft pedal.
Yeah, listen, I have to be honest without John turning on the machine to realize I'm lying right now. This job requires you to do things that you would normally never do. If somebody, and I'll give you an example. If you met a guy at the mall and you were just chatting with him and the guy had a speech impediment, you would never bring it up. How long you had that lisp for? What's going on with the voice? What happened there?
How dare you, sir?
Thank you. You would never bring it up. It'd be uncomfortable. I don't even establish eye contact with people. I look up toward the heavens when I talk to people. But if somebody came on this show with a heavy lisp and you people were hearing it, then it's our job to say, what's going on? How did that happen? So on and so forth.
I'm explosive.
Unfortunately, uncomfortable, but it's our job. When I came in this morning and Brusket said, I got a line. No, hold on. I got a line. Dave, dude.
I got a great idea, Ace Man. Wait till you hear about this. I got a lie detector for the biker guy.
Right. Now, I said.
He shamed our country.
My first impulse was, boy, this is going to be uncomfortable. My second impulse was, if I was in my car and I was listening to this show, not that I would be, I'm a Mark and Brian guy, but if I was, I would want to hear the lie detector, and thus we must take one for the team. I don't want to make us into martyrs, but everyone here is uncomfortable, and we're doing it because we think it would be more interesting for you.
And then Breska doesn't believe him because he won't take the lie detector test.
Well, I got
come
it.
Come on, that's low.
Oh, sweet irony.
Debbie, do you have a husband or a boyfriend?
No.
Perfect. If you were married... And you accused your husband of cheating, and he said, no, I absolutely did not. And then Big John, the mouth from the south, pulled up, gabbing all the way with his MRI. His polygraph machine and said, I will hook your husband up to this, and your husband refused. Then what would you think? He didn't cheat?
Well, husband's cheating, and...
Thank you.
Sorry,
Debbie. Touché, I say. All right, let's get to it. Yes, when someone doesn't want to take the lie detector, it suggests a certain amount of guilt. On the other hand, I will afford him a little break because he was a little bit freaked out. And again, he has attorneys that advise him not to do this or to do that.
What Debbie said, he can't trust these things anymore because if you're to believe him, then he got tainted lab results or somebody did something to his urine between when he gave it and when it went to the lab. So he's already mistrustful.
For whatever reason, he rejected the offer to clear his name with the lie detector. As a consolation prize now, Corolla courageously has hooked himself up to find out what's in his heart of hearts.
Right.
Yes.
On the Landis
All right.
contract.
Yes. The only question I will accept other than the basic calibrating ones will be, do I think Floyd Landis is innocent or guilty?
All right, John.
We're ready.
All right.
Anytime.
Is your name Adam?
Yes.
Do you believe he did not knowingly take illegal substances during Tour de France?
Yes. Again, wedding DJ. Nothing?
So, can we ask one more question? Oh,
no,
I want a
that's
question,
it.
Please.
All right, you have your...
Do you think Damashek is funny?
Do you have your funny ha-ha or funny when he's very excited about getting a lightsaber I gave him earlier? All right, do you have your results?
We have the results.
All right, do not give it to us just yet. We'll take a break. We're coming back with the news... In the sports, T?
I wish we could give Mel Gibson a lie detector and find out if he really does hate the effing Jews. But I have some more news on Mel and also a driving lesson that went horribly wrong. It's a horrible story, but you kind of have to hear it.
All right. That and the results of our lie detector tests, not the ones we'd established at the beginning, but I do want to know whether I think he's guilty or not. I don't know. And maybe, again, I could use John not to find out whether someone's cheating on me or I'm cheating on my taxes. But sometimes I go see a movie and then I leave the movie and it's like, what'd you think of Wedding Crashers? Did you like it or didn't you like it? We had some fun. It was, you know, it was some pretty fun. Should I go see it? John steps in. Boom. He loved it. He was lying when he went. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on The Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Broadview Heights, Ohio. A 75-year-old woman opened her patio door to let her dog back inside and was shocked when a deer followed close behind. The deer proceeded to attack the woman, resulting in 27 stitches. Definitely not a Jew.
I don't know, a little controversy around that one. Now, are they talking about the deer or not being Jewish?
Both.
Okay, because I feel like that could have happened to a Jew as well as a Gentile. We'll have to go back and look at that one. We'll review it, because at the end of the year,
Everything can't be hooked up to a lie detector, correct?
Well, I'm just saying, I got to keep it clean. I run a clean sport here. Tom is on the phone. Tom, you're a professional bodybuilder?
I am.
So,
I used to be. Let's put it that way.
All right.
I'm a retired professional bodybuilder now.
I see. And your theory is every cyclist is on the juice.
Every cyclist. And I don't understand how there couldn't be, because everybody else is doing it. He would have to do it, unquestionably. I mean, nobody had ever even heard of EPO until 11 Dutch cyclists died in 1989. That was how the sports world found out about it.
Yeah, but that was in a bus accident.
Yeah.
11 Dutch cyclists died?
What's EPO?
That was from doing EPO, absolutely.
What is EPO?
EPO is a hormone, erythropoietin. It's a hormone your kidneys produce to tell your bone marrow to produce more red blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
You got more red blood cells, obviously, then you got more oxygen flowing through your body, which would actually give you a huge advantage, of course.
So you're saying... You're saying everyone's on it.
There's no question about it.
All right.
But I would actually defend Floyd and saying because everybody else is doing it, he'd have no chance without it.
Well, I sort of feel that if all the guys who are behind you were on it too, then it's still an even race, a tainted yet even race. And I'm sort of philosophical about it that way. I assume if you're on it, then everyone's on it. And then it's just game on with it's the difference between Marcus of Queensberry and No Holds Barred, you know. If everything's No Holds Barred, then it's fine. If one guy's fighting Marcus of Queensberry and another guy is throwing elbows, then you got a problem. As long as everyone knows the rules, then have at it. Enter the octagon. Wow. Listen to me. I got some testosterone coursing through me.
It's all natural, though,
all right,
dude.
John Grogan of Affordable Polygraph.com. How much, John, if I think the old lady's been stepping out on me, how much to swing by the house, pull up the van, and hook her up?
$395.
All right. And has anyone ever asked you to do this and then pay you off? Has anyone ever asked you to vary your results in their favor?
We get offered bribes about once a week.
Uh-huh. So that's some nice side cash for you.
Were you offered a bribe by Webmaster Billy?
No.
Okay. I hear you like to tell a joke or two when you're on the radio. Do you have something you'd like to read off for us?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because this is going to be good. Go ahead, John. Now the comedy stylings of John Grogan. Please welcome to the stage, John. John, come on up there, bud.
As an airplane is about to crash, a female passenger jumps up frantically and announces, "If I'm going to die, I want to die feeling like a woman." She removes all her clothing and asks, "Is there someone on this plane who is man enough to make me feel like a woman?" A man stands up, removes his shirt, and says, "Here, iron this."
Yes! Zing!
I do got to say, John is one of these guys, when you ply him with enough beer, he'll crack open like the Grand Canyon and look out. Oh, I do not want to be around John when he gets drunk on karaoke night. Out of control. All right. Singing Hell is for Children at Dimples. John, you have the results of the polygraph test, yes?
I do.
The question was, did I think Floyd Landis was guilty of taking these steroids? I don't know. I'd be curious to find out, so please inform us.
When you showed support for Floyd Landis, it showed you were deceptive.
Oh. So I do think he did it. Interesting.
How does that make you feel, Ace?
Suspicious.
Jeez, it's sort of surreal now. Because obviously there's more than a kernel of doubt in my mind, because he came up guilty, you know, came up positive on the test and he wouldn't take this. So I guess there's a side of my brain that feels logically like, okay, he must be guilty. But then you meet him and it's that sort of thing where you ask the wife, "Do you think your husband could have been a serial killer?" It's like, what do you mean? Well, he's a great man. He's a church going man. You don't want to believe, but I guess that's what I do believe. Hey, can I ask you this, John? In the world of polygraphs, is it either black or white, or is there some gray area? Is there 60-40, I think he's guilty, or does it work that way?
Your sweat gland activity betrayed you. It said that you were deceptive on that question.
But are there gradations? Was he very, right, very deceptive?
And I did do a lot of coke last night, so that could have factored in.
He showed strong deception on that.
Mm. Mm. Interesting. I don't know why I feel guilty now.
The bottom line is, you don't believe me either. Neither do I.
All right. Well, no one believes him. But
I do, for the record.
All right.
We'll give you a lie detector next.
John, first off, I don't know if you're a big Howard Stern fan, but during the news, Gilbert Gottfried used to sit in, and it was awesome.
Oh, should we have John for the news?
Well,
how
could
we not?
I don't want to put the pressure on him, but he's here. I mean, for Christ's sake, let's use it.
You should comment during the news on your thoughts and stuff.
That's right. That's right, Prescott.
John, are you ready with your A game?
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do the news now with Teresa Strasser.
Well, if you've gassed up already this morning, then this will not be news to you. Gas prices are up. This because BP, the world's second largest oil company, had a problem with their pipeline in Alaska. Severe corrosion on between 16 and 20 miles of pipeline. That means oil prices are up $2 a barrel. That reflects gas prices, of course. They're almost at an all-time high. The all-time high was post-Katrina, but they are getting very, very close.
Good. Keep going up, baby. I'm telling you, the only way to solve this, it's real easy. Gas prices go up, people start buying Priuses, and they stop buying Yukons and Denalis. That's the only thing they listen to. So when they go up, more people buy smaller cars, and we don't have, you know, you want to save the world from the greenhouse gases and from the global warming? Make gas $6 a gallon, and immediately we take care of this problem. And I say, as I've said many times, raise it to $10. Raise it to $10 and separate the posers from the guys who really want to drive. Take the extra $7 that you get per gallon, put it toward public transportation and buses, free buses for everyone who doesn't want to pay $10 a gallon. I'll be on the road in my supercharged M3 chasing Johnny Law, and that'll be it. That's the way we solve it. So have it keep going up. Thank you. John, what do you think, buddy?
You demand, Corolla.
Good stuff.
That's how I roll.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll be interested to hear John's take on the Mel Gibson situation.
Yeah. Oh, brace yourself.
Two girls who were hanging out with him in Malibu were interviewed yesterday on Good Morning America. Let's hear what one of them had to say.
I asked him on one or two occasions, let's get a drink. And he said, no, I listened to him order another bottle of water. And at that point, I didn't believe he was drinking water because it didn't appear to be water. But he actually handed it over to me. He's like, look. And I took a drink, and it was water.
Oh, this is going to be awesome. I happen to know, John, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but do the Rabbi Shevitz. Because that is awesome. He did it out in the hall.
Oh, you've got a rabbi character.
Yeah,
you do?
It's funny as all get out. I mean, it's great. I mean, it walks the line. I got to tell you, it's a little on the edge, but it's funny, edgy stuff.
All right, John.
Oy vey.
Yeah. Okay. This might be surprising. A health insurance company conducted a survey. They found that Americans spend twice as much time researching what car and electronics they should buy than we do selecting what doctor we should see. The average person spends 9.7 days researching a doctor, 20 days researching purchases like a car or a TV. The theory, it's easier to get information about cars and electronics than doctors, so we spend more time looking into it.
Yeah, you got to prioritize, too. Get a gallbladder taken out or something. That ain't no biggie, but you buy the wrong flat screen and the wrong ride, you are dead in the water, my friend.
That's a good point.
My heart is racing. I need a Zima.
Wow, the Zima joke.
Take the edge off. Yeah, it's been a while, but it's still good stuff.
It's almost retro cool for the Zima joke.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess John did the bulk of his stand-up in the 90s before producing and directing, you know.
Yeah.
So he got behind the camera at a certain point.
He wore the blazer and T-shirt.
I heard that, Ace Man.
It's good stuff.
Okay, this is going to be a tough one to make jokes about, John, so you're going to have to dig deep. A very, very sad story in New Jersey. A woman was apparently giving a driving lesson to her 15-year-old daughter. Something went horribly wrong. The daughter was trying to practice parallel parking, according to police reports, and she backed over her mother. This was the accident happened in their yard. The girl may have hit the wrong pedal, you know, when you're learning how to drive and you can't tell. Emergency crews arrived and lifted a 1997 Chevy Cavalier off the mother, but it was too late. The mother was crushed and pronounced dead on the scene.
Well, I'll tell you, there's nothing funny about this story.
Chick had it coming.
Whoa, John. God. You want to talk about working edgy, working blue. Wow.
No sacred cows. No.
He's out of control, this kid.
Well, I'm Teresa Strasser with an assist from John, and that is the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
All right, well, of course, the big news, breaking news that surely will be played across the land, nay, the big blue marble itself. Corolla thinks that Floyd Landis did it. Floyd Landis on our show earlier this morning, of course, came on. Announced that he was innocent, but refused to take the lie detector. Moments ago, Corolla hooked himself up to the lie detector test to see what he thought of Floyd Landis's excuses. Turns out, what, John? Adam was lying or telling the truth about Floyd?
Adam was lying.
He thinks Floyd did it.
All right, it's weird. I'm actually disappointed that I don't believe him. But you can't argue with the signs.
Quickly, let me make mention of our national pastime. The results yesterday. Dodger Blue got a big boost from veteran Jeff Kent, second baseman, knocked around the Rockies pitchers. Bums now 10 in a row. Nice move by the Snakes to try and capture the NL West. They picked up Levon Hernandez, the very fat man. Junior Circuit Halos won on the south side of Chicago. First place Athletics put down the Rangers. Mariners gave the business end of the Trident to the Devil Rays.
Baseball puts me to sleep.
It takes a lot to put John down because he's a whirling dervish, this man. I'll tell you, for those who haven't seen John Grogan from AffordablePolygraph.com in the flesh, you know, he's got the crazy Robin Williams suspenders, the rainbow suspenders with the I'm stupid button on there. Where's a purple beret? He's out of control. I mean, he talks the talk, but he dresses the part as well.
He still has that silly prop mustache.
Yeah.
And the kind of ring that squirts.
Now, you know, speaking of
some athletes have had legal problems. Mm-hmm. Remember O.J. Simpson? He had some trouble a few years back.
Great running back.
He's got a website now, or someone has posted a website called JudgeOJ.com. It's got some video of O.J. in his years since the big trial. Mm-hmm. And here he is talking about whether or not he's used cocaine on another radio show. Take a listen to this.
You ever sniff coke?
In my life?
Yeah.
I refuse to answer that question. Mm-hmm. In recent years, no.
Well, I think we can do the math on that there, OJ.
Oh, by the way, who's interviewing him? A Miami drug lord? You ever sniffed coke? Isn't it just done coke? Sniffed it?
In my life? In recent years, no.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Drew's theory, the old adage, speed kills. He thinks the Oadster was beaked up on speed.
Because speed makes you aggressive.
And those kinds of crimes, you know, it's one thing when you poison somebody or you shoot them and collect the insurance or whatever, but that kind of bloody, just rageful, angry, whatever, think speed when you think those kinds of crimes.
That's a good theory.
Wait a second.
What's going on? Ladies and gentlemen, this is a jerk alert.
Oh, no, a jerk
this
alert.
Is not a drill. I repeat, this is not a drill. Before. Do not panic unless you are a jerk.
David, what's going on?
What's happening?
Listen, the jerks don't rest and neither shall I.
Mm.
Hence the need for a jerk alert. This couldn't wait till tomorrow. Yes. I must announce this. And Ace, this one's gonna hurt.
Jerk list tomorrow?
Yes.
All right.
The jerk alert has been sounded, and I must make you aware.
What's going on?
Don't worry, no one in this room is a jerk. However, Adam has been victimized by a jerk. Adam Archuleta, safety for his beloved Rams.
Yeah, what's up?
Recently interviewed and asked the question, better Adam Sandler, Adam Carolla, or Adam Ant? Adam Archuleta's response, I'd have to go with Adam Sandler. I don't know about Adam Ant. Maybe people named Adam for other generations would pick him. And Adam Carolla, he's kind of a poser.
What?
Jerk!
Oh, my goodness.
What gives, Carolla? We got to get Archuleta on the phone to explain himself.
I normally...
Perhaps we could do that for tomorrow for the jerk list.
Normally don't throw down with guys who do one-armed push-ups on their fingertips like Archuleta does, but it is on. It is on.
That Adam Archuleta can go to hell.
Good stuff.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Now, listen, Sandler made a couple of crappy football movies. That's why he's kissing his ass.
Yeah, that prison football thing.
Yeah, he made The Longest Yard and he made The Water Boy.
Don't make excuses. We got to get this Archuleta on the phone, Bruska, to explain himself.
This is devastating. All right, we will take ourselves a little break. John Grogan, I know you're going to be down at the Ice House in Pasadena tonight.
Yucks.
Are you? You're headlining, right?
No.
Oh, okay, doing the middle then, I guess. Just breaking in some material before the tour starts again. AffordablePolygraph.com is where you go to get your answers from John Grogan. We'll take a quick break. What?
Liars go to hell.
He's even got a catchphrase.
I've seen the windbreaker. Bruskett, what are we doing? We doing a reenactment?
Yeah, let's do a reenactment off of that story that Teresa talked about. I wasn't listening.
The 15-year-old that... ran over her mother while learning how to parallel park. Yes.
All right, we'll do one of our famous reenactments after this.
Do yourself a favor. Keep listening. It's the Adam Carolla Show. Check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Just calling because I heard your show this morning. I listen to it every morning, and you know what? It's really something special. Sounds really corny, but I actually really think that I'm in love with Teresa Strasser, or at least I have a really wicked fresh crush on her. I'm a little loaded right now.
The world is an oyster, because that's all the world is.
Hey, Adam, my name is Zach. I listen in San Diego. I just wanted to give some feedback. The Friday Morning Bitch Bag was pretty good radio. I really liked it. And I hope you guys do it again.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, it was tough on the crew, the Friday morning bitch bag, but I think we're going to do it again coming up in a few days.
By the way, I'm thinking I'm immune this week, but I'm thinking of lifting that immunity. That's how confident I am.
All right, so be it. Yeah, you and Brusk are because you were the recipients of it last week, right. But I say we should toss a coin or something because we can't have two people riding the pine.
You know
this.
What? I'll selflessly remove myself. I need no immunity.
It takes a big nose.
I'll keep my immunity because I'll need it.
Floyd Landis was someone, speaking of someone who needs immunity, was on about an hour ago saying that he was not guilty of taking these drugs for winning the Tour de France. We asked him to take a lie detector. We set him up. I like him, but we set him up, and he refused to take it. So let's just do a quick recap. By your estimation, you have nothing to do with this. You're completely innocent.
Yes,
and
correct.
You would swear on a stack of Bibles.
Sure.
You would take a lie detector test.
Sure.
Well, let's find out if he did or not. Do we have
If you didn't do it, then you should be eager to take the test and clear your name.
Ordinarily, if I'm just sitting here and that's the argument, then correct. I agree. But right now, it goes into a legal process.
Mm-hmm. See, he was taken aback there.
He balked.
Yes, he did. I understand.
The momentum is gathering against him. Brusca steps up. Oh, he definitely did it. Now, mm-hmm. Carolla, you feel like he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Teresa, though, you hold out.
Yeah, I don't know. Just the vibe. I don't know. He seems like such a nice person. He seems genuine.
Mm. I know. I'm a sucker too. Looking at him, figured out.
We have one more clip, by the way.
Man, I'm telling you, that's going to get used against me. I tell you what, I'll make a deal with you.
Hmm.
I will speak with my lawyer, and if he says that it's a good idea, if I ever take a polygraph test, it'll be in here. How's that?
Yeah. Listen, I've spoken to my lawyer and asked him if it was okay if I made a solid BM, and he said absolutely not. I'm coming over there now. Do not put your ass on that toilet. That's what lawyers do. They tell you, do not do anything. I'd like to take a multiple vitamin. I would advise against that. So, of course, the lawyer said, don't do it. And he listened to the lawyer. And I took it. And it turns out I think he's guilty.
Bottom line is he declined to take a lie detector test
right.
on our show.
All right. Now let's move on to a happier story.
Yes.
Go ahead, T.
Okay. Well, there's a very unfortunate story in the news. And the only bright side of that for me always is that you guys reenact it.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it all better. This is a tragic story. It's very dangerous giving your teenagers driving lessons in one case. Very recently, a mother was killed. She was teaching her daughter how to parallel park. This was in their yard. The daughter, according to police reports, possibly got confused. What was the gas? What was the brake? She ran over her mother.
She stomped. The only way you can do this is just people press down on the accelerator and they panic.
Yes.
And because people, and I don't understand it because people do that thing, well, you're scared. You don't know how you would react. I know I would remove my goddamn foot from the thing that was piling over my mother. They don't do it. They just keep their foot pressed down and they plow right through the marketplace.
Well, this
how
is
would
what
I
happened.
Know that?
That's
this
right.
is what happened. And unfortunately, the mother was trapped under the Chevy Cavalier.
Mm.
Police were dispatched. Emergency crews lifted the car. Unfortunately, the mother was pronounced dead on the scene.
Yeah.
But fortunately, you two will be reenacting it. Dave, who will you play?
I know. So sad.
How about I'll be the girl who drove the car.
All right. I will play the father.
Receiving the bad
news. Receiving the news.
That mom is gone.
All right.
We're running out of time. Maybe pick it up on two rings.
No, I'm sorry. Because two sounds desperate. Hello?
Daddy?
Jamie?
That's right.
Oh, fantastic. Good to hear. You know, I feel like I should tell you that just because your mom and I, well, we've been separated for a couple of years. I still love her, and I love you, and I hope the driving is going great. I know you got your permit.
I'm very excited for you. Today was a big day, and some good news and bad news as far as that goes. You know how you say, mom, you always say, why? Was it me? Was it me? Is that why? And you always said, no, it's because mom didn't listen?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What happened? She didn't take you to get your, you failed the written test at the DMV?
No, that went swimmingly.
You got that? Okay.
Yeah, it went great.
Okay, well, hold on. You put a scratch in the side of the Chevy, didn't you? What'd you do, catch a tree branch or something when you were backing out of the driveway?
Kinda.
You put a little ding. Well, all right, you know, I know Manny over at the body shop's going to have a good laugh about it, but I'll bring it over there and he'll pop that ding out.
Well, there's a different kind of body shop that's going to have to get involved on this one.
What, are you telling me there's suspension or alignment problems?
Well,
we're not going to have to put it up on the rack or anything, are we?
No, but there are going to be some expenses that I think you're going to be legally responsible for.
Okay, I'm listening.
Well, like I say, good news and bad news about the driving test. Mm-hmm, you know, big news. You know, I just want to tell you, I have my driver's
license.
That's
my girl. I'm so proud of you right now. I couldn't be prouder.
Yeah.
I've never been prouder of a human being.
Now, while I was doing some practicing.
Mm-hmm, that's my girl. 10-2, by the way. Look left, then right. Then left again.
Yeah.
That's always, I always say that.
I thought,
you know, as a former driving instructor, I got to tell you, it makes me proud as your father to see you now finally climb behind the wheel of a motor vehicle.
Thank you. And I thought that those tips were more than enough for me. But you know, Mom.
Yeah.
You
know, and by the way,
you got to practice. You got
to
practice.
Don't say anything to Mom, but I'm looking to reconcile real soon. As a matter of fact, I bought a ring that cannot be returned. I paid cash for it, and I'm going to present that to her on her birthday, which is coming up.
Oh.
Yeah, I want you to be there.
Well,
this is going
to
be exciting.
This leads me to the
bad
news.
Then we all go out to dinner to celebrate. Once again, an intact family.
Hmm. Well, here's the bad news.
What happened?
I can't. I'd love to come over right now and have dinner and tell you some stuff, but... The car's been impounded, and I'm calling from the morgue.
Got another parking ticket, and you're visiting.
No.
What?
I'm calling from the morgue.
The morgue?
Yeah, the morgue. That's the bad news.
I don't know what your teenager's got a new word for everything. What is that? The mall? Is that what you're calling the mall these days? The morgue.
That's where they keep the dead people. Yeah. And
and sell shoes.
No, the... See, I remember I was talking about the practicing, and Mom, you know, she's always like,
couldn't
you gotta
prouder.
Practice!
Oh,
you gotta practice!
I'll tell
you. Like, Dad taught me already! But she's like, no, you gotta practice!
No greater
driving
instructor.
And I said, that's why Dad doesn't like you! And then, so, I was doing some parallel parking practice.
Good. I always say you should practice that.
And
you never, ever... Yeah. Have somebody guide you in when you parallel park. And I've told you that many times because that can be dangerous.
You should have mentioned.
Mom is
you
right there in the passenger seat.
You should have mentioned
on-
that same tip to Mom because she did get out of the car. And she was, I don't know about driving. And I was doing some practicing and I was focused on a number of things. You always tell me, like you said, 10-2. I was thinking about that.
All right, so what happened?
She went behind the car. I didn't tell her to do it. And one thing led to another.
Is she under the car?
That's right.
So she's just checking the tranny fluid and then you'll be on the road again?
She's under the car.
So it's up on jack stands, right?
She's not technically now under the car.
Oh,
but
thank
she
God.
Fell under
she's
it.
She's going to have to clean her up because we're going out to dinner tonight.
Here's what happened. I drove. She was under the car, and then I thought, like, what was that? And I drove forward, and then I drove off of her.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then I was like, oh, that must be a speed, and I went back, and then that's where the car stayed until the police came and pulled her her dead body from underneath it. She's gone.
Okay. Well, I still want to go out to dinner tonight because I want to introduce you to your new stepmother.
I'm in, Daddy.
I got text message during
the
call.
Will you buy me a new car?
Yes.
That other one's got a bunch of red stains all over it now.
Scene.
I'll tell you, that scene with a heavy heart. With a heavy heart. It's
that one's
soon.
Dedicated to the dead
God,
man.
I hope no one involved
soon.
Was listening.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Do yourself a favor. Keep listening. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
This is Dana Gould, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. I want to thank Lloyd Landis, John Grogan, AffordablePolygraphs.com, and at the Laugh Factory all week as well. Fox for Porky's and PCU and the Bachelor Party. Also, well, that should do it. Kevin Nealon, Crystal Method, and Def Frat Guy tomorrow, everybody. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.